Although, okay, can I say a thing about interfaces? And I feel really weird about, like, if there's a program or an app with a shitty looking interface, I hate using it.
Oh yeah. Oh, and absolutely.
Okay. All right. I mean, clearly I'm not alone in that because people care about that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm. No, you're like, not alone. And speaking of that, apropos, it's time to buckle up for the sex.
Oh my God. Did apropos you just,
of nothing
no,
podcast.
No,
with
no,
your
no,
host,
no.
Me, Salsa, who's not here.
And buckle up for the sex.
Yeah,
it's
there we go.
The apropos of nothing podcast.
Good.
Apparently with Jenna your host.
She vetoed.
Crickets.
Intro.
James.
And Jenna, and special guest,
Tom St. Hello.
Yay!
No, I
Yay!
Get it wrong every time, because I'm
time.
Only ever 80% correct about anything.
Well, Salsa always does the intro.
Yeah.
And, like, so, like, James goes to do it, and, like, this is a carryover joke from the last time James tried to do the intro.
Ooh, yeah.
This was much better. I'm going to give you points. Ooh. I think you bumped up from 80 to 85%.
Ooh.
So you're working up there.
That's a dramatic improvement.
You're working up.
Looks like a
that's
B+.
It's fine.
Still a B
plus terrible. Yeah. B plus terrible is kind of what I'm... That's... yeah.
So can I ask a question about, like, how long has this brick joke been in the making then?
Brick joke?
Brick,
what?
Brick joke? Like a brick... like a building block brick?
Oh, only recently, actually.
Like a month or two? When was the last time Salsa was on
no,
vacation?
Salsa was...
Oh, it was Salsa on vacation.
No, it was the time Salsa came back because he was going to pretend he was still gone.
Oh,
and you fucked up the intro so badly that Salsa was like, what the shit?
Yeah, it was supposed to be a surprise.
Yeah.
And the only person surprised was me about how badly James fucked up the intro. Yeah. Yeah.
Here's the thing, though. Were you surprised by that?
Well, Salsa, you know.
Salsa, I don't know if Salsa was surprised. He was just disappointed.
Yeah. If you pick up a scorpion, don't be surprised that you get stung, but you can still be dismayed, you know?
Yes. Oh my God. No, we've only actually, we have,
speaking of Zen
we've
cones.
Been like, we've been like, I think it took us almost a year of playing with the format of the introduction to actually get it nailed down proper. Because it used to be, ladies and gentlemen, buckle up for the sex.
Yeah.
And we were like, we should adjust this because we're better
people. Not
everybody's
a lady or a gentleman.
Right. There were so many different things that we tried to find the right pattern to get to it that we had probably about like 9 or 10 different intros that we tried out on the regular before we finally settled on greetings apropos.
Good.
So a part of it is just that. What is the standard? Now, it's been the standard for probably about 6 months now. So, you know, pick it the fuck up.
Six whole months. Yeah.
But still, like, yeah. I understand if you haven't done it that before and, you know, it's only your second time using the actual one as opposed to some fuck-off thing that we're doing. Then, yeah.
Well, the last time I also confused, you know, apropos with apropostors, which is...
Nope.
Like... guest versus employees thing, and it's.
I think I sent
incorrect.
You to the corner.
Yes. Yeah. It was cold. It was cold there. Maybe that was just Jenna lasers that are extremely. They are cold to the point of boiling. It's really
oh dear.
Like
that's
yeah,
quite cold.
It's
yeah,
like
you. Nobody wants Jenna lasers.
1 or 2 degrees Kelvin. Mm-hmm. It's really awful.
You think it's bad for you? Think about what it's like for me.
Yes, truly, I pity you.
That's
I should be more thoughtful about your suffering when you're giving
Thank
me
you.
Lasers. Yeah.
Yes.
This is.
So anyway, hey everybody, what are you drinking?
Oh
crap!
Lot.
I don't have a drink.
Ooh.
Do I need to go get a drink?
You don't have to.
I mean, I will probably
you should
get
at least
a drink
have water.
At an appropriate moment. I should probably get some water at least.
You should probably get some water.
That's a good idea.
Your whistle's
okay.
Gonna.
So
need
while while you get the whatever whistle wetter, I'll talk about what I have because I'm really fucking happy about it.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. So I've been on a 20 something, not quite 20 years, 15 years quest to replace a favorite beverage.
You've told me about this. Yes.
Yes. I have.
You've told the podcast about this.
Tried
several
probably,
times, I think. Yeah.
Yeah. A couple dozen different ciders trying to find one that is close.
Okay.
To my beloved Lenore. Long lost Lenore. But what I have found is weirdly very close to that missing beverage and is available stateside, and it's the Shaxbury Dry Cider. No sugar added, gluten free, 5.5% alcohol by volume. This is absolutely gorgeous can also, but I have, because I've already had it, and I wanted to have something new for the podcast, I made, it's not a snake bite, it's a Johnny Jump Up, right? That's whiskey and cider?
Whiskey and cider, yeah.
Bourbon and cider, I think, specifically, or is all whiskey it's acceptable?
I think all whiskey is acceptable.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So this is, this is Jameson Black Label.
Ooh.
So there's a shot of Jameson Black Label in this 12-ounce can.
This gin is quite warm.
Warm.
Well, but
gin.
I've got some cold Mountain Dew Voltage to mix it with. So.
Oh my god.
It's real good, and I've got some water.
Oh wow. Oh, that's so good. Oh my god.
You're talking about your drink and not Tom's.
Holy
drink.
Shit! Yeah. I caught feelings for my Johnny Jump Up.
Look at this color.
Oh,
this is
ridiculous. Wow. That
Tom,
is.
Tom, do you have that in a beaker?
Yes, I do have it in a beaker.
Oh my god, this is the ultimate for science.
Yeah.
Well done.
It's because they've graduated.
Oh.
There we go.
Professor Tom.
I'm flattered.
That's it. You're now Professor Tom.
Professor Tom of mixology science. Cheers.
Ooh. Yes, cheers.
Lawn chairs.
Lawn chairs.
Yep.
Cilantro.
Well, now I know. I was going to, what's funny is when I start streaming, I really wanted to use my monster mug to like actually have some tea because Tom S tea, but now
Reverend Matt's monster mug.
Well, it's like a monster face mug. That's sold at the Phoenix Theater.
Not all monsters are Reverend Matt monsters.
But yeah. It's like a great square rectangle thing, right? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. It's a rectangle, not a square.
This is a rare monster mug thing that is not related to Reverend Matt's monster science.
A rhombus. Yeah. All right.
A trapezoid.
Quadrilateral, but not.
I'm going back to high school trig.
Oh, God. I was actually really good at trig and geometry. I am drinking.
Holy shit, that's a bottle.
Well, I just have it next to me.
All
I'm not
of the
drinking.
Things that we're drinking come out of bottles, James, except for your can of whatever.
That's fair. So this is, it's got a very lovely label on it.
Ooh,
I don't know if
blurry.
You can see that. This is about average. Like, you could bring this to a dinner table and everybody would be happy with it, kind of a thing. Few people would be excited, but everybody would be happy. Like, it's a good guest bottle.
Like,
you know what I mean?
Are there sweeter red wines in general? Because,
Yep. There are some reds, and honestly, like, you can't even tell. Like, there are some Pinot Noirs that are sweeter than others. There are some, you know, Malbecs that are sweeter than others.
Sure.
And
it's like universal, like a Riesling is usually sweet.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. But not always. A Pinot Noir is usually going to have a bit more of a tartness. And this is about as Pinot Noir as a Pinot Noir gets. It's very good, but it is, you know, very Pinot Noir.
I once opened a Riesling that was nothing but tumbleweeds. Yeah, it was.
Oh my god!
It's very dry, arid even.
Hey, everybody!
Yeah, what's up?
Happy Valentine's Day!
Happy Valentine's Day!
We're recording on February 14th.
And that means the audience, they're all our Valentines.
They are? My goodness.
Yeah. Well, yes. I mean, I would say we are willing to be their Valentines, but we cannot claim them as our Valentines. They have to consent to be our Valentines.
To be a mutual love.
Yeah. Yeah. Consensually, of course. Yeah.
But we can offer up our Valentininess.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Unto them.
I'm happy to be anybody's friend Valentine who needs a friend Valentine this year.
Yay. We're volunteering.
Oh my God. I should have seen that coming.
I didn't see that coming. I almost
very sad.
Mountain Dew and gin.
Mountain Dew and gin all over my very nice my very nice keyboard. Aww. It would have been very sad.
I'm still not sure how I feel about this Mountain Dew and gin thing. Like, I've had Mountain Dew and vodka, but I'm not a gin person. And I'm like,
I think the only reason this in particular works is because, so I put like maybe half an ounce of the gin into the Mountain Dew Voltage.
Okay.
And the Mountain Dew Voltage is such that it plays nicely with the aromatics in the gin. So I think that's the only reason this
Which sort of gin?
This is Bombay Sapphire.
Oh, okay. Yeah. All right. Well, one explains the color. Two.
Right.
Excellent choice.
Is this? I don't think it's blue. I just think the bottle's blue.
No, I'm pretty sure Bombay is blue.
Oh, huh. I'd have never poured it out into itself, so I wouldn't.
I don't know.
Fair.
I should. Probably
I have a bottle of it, and I don't know. Yeah.
Well.
But it is one of my more favorite gin selections. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's funny. I went to Nile, Illinois Niles, Illinois.
Well, I'm Illinois now.
I don't care.
It was a joke.
That's Illinois.
Illinois. So we were in Evanston for my great uncle's funeral. We took my other great uncle's ashes to Niles, where his first husband, her first partner, gay marriage wasn't legal at that point. So
sure.
Life partners. So we took it to his grave and we bought a little baby bottle of Bombay Sapphire to pour on his, my great uncle's first partner's grave.
That's nice. So sweet.
I thought that was very wonderful. Sweet. And then we visited the Leaning Tower of Niles, which is a half-scale replica of the Leaning Tower of Pisa, just in the middle of Illinois.
I was expecting that it was just like a radio tower somebody hit with a tractor. I'm thinking of Iowa. That's the Leaning Tower of Iowa. Okay.
That's
you're welcome, Troy to Troy.
Yeah, provided you're contrary.
Yeah.
Musical.
So, what did people do for Valentine's Day, or are they doing, or what? Do you have continuous plans? Do you have backup plans? Do you have what have you done? What will you be doing aside from this?
Well, besides this, Rem and I played Monster Camp this evening.
Yeah,
which was very fun.
Very romantic.
Mm-hmm, yes. Very. Even though Rem did not get the person he ended up with, or he was trying to woo, which was very sad.
I understand this. I've been there before.
Oh. We've all been there before, I think.
We've all been there before.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Jenna had a series of dates like that.
Nice.
Monster prom? Because,
Yeah, actually. And also, Jenna... Like,
inside played, of Monster Prom,
Mystery
yes.
Date.
I did play Mystery
and
Date.
And had a series of dates.
Oh, I see.
Four times. You had your outfit, your handbag, and your
I had
event,
my entire ensemble.
Everything all together. Yep.
All set up.
Everything ready.
And I and go to got spin the door dud. Thing. I got the dud four fucking times in a row. Yep. It's awful.
That's ridiculous.
Yes.
I almost flipped the table.
Literally everyone else had met their mystery date and we were just like, we all had our fingers crossed that she was going to open that door and the board game boy of her dreams was going to be on the other side.
Indeed.
Nope. Dud.
Yeah. And at that point, Jenna flipped the door closed and was like, I think I'm good for tonight.
Yeah. After the fourth time around, I was like, nope, I just lose. Yeah. I just lose. That's fine.
Is this a board game or is this a video game or is this something
board
else?
Game.
Okay.
The board game.
Okay.
Actual board game, which was super fun.
It has a tiny door with a knob on it.
Does?
Adorable.
The tiny door. Yeah. good times.
So, yeah.
Was that
so Monster
also...
Prom? Anything else, or?
I mean, nah.
Chill, hanging, and cool.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, Rem's right next to me playing Dread Hunger while I record. So
nice. Hey, Rem.
I will tell him the podcast people say hello.
Yes.
He cannot hear me because he's busy yelling at Marines and making fun of Marines by saying they all eat crayons.
I understand this. That would be insulting. I get it.
That is repeatedly the joke that Kyle, as a former Marine, will share with fellow Marines.
He that is one of his go-tos, isn't it?
What about you, James?
Well, my primary, Jax, and I found out that there is a puzzle room place in Minnesota where they are very good about making sure that everyone is masked when they are not eating and drinking, and like they're really good about all of that stuff. And
right,
since it was really low risk, we opted for a single bubble double date. So another couple who are in our bubble went with us to this evening and masked all four of us masked up. We solved a puzzle trunk.
Ooh.
What they refer to as a puzzle box, but it's like a steamer trunk.
Okay.
So it's kind of the opposite of an escape room because you're trying to get into the trunk and solve all of the puzzles and find all the hidden compartments, which is pretty thrilling.
Nice.
And then figure out all of the, because some things are keys to hidden secrets of the box, even though they don't look like it. And
sure.
There are so many, like a fucking dozen different kinds of puzzles to solve. Everything from like word puzzles to super weird physics puzzles.
Oh, huh.
All in the same place. And it was really good. It usually takes people an hour. It took us a little less than an hour.
Okay.
And then we opted to do one of their puzzle rooms as well. So we went to Hidden MN.
Is that the one that's downtown?
That is the one that's over near, like, between
isn't it in Roseville?
Roseville and St. Paul.
Okay. Yeah,
it's over on near C, County Road C.
Okay, that's Roseville. That's like firmly Roseville.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, I know the friend who runs it.
Yeah. And we had an absolutely fucking amazing time. Our puzzle room was about a recently hired dental hygienist accidentally getting high on laughing gas and leaving a bunch of really awful notes for their coworker.
What the fuck?
And you have 1 hour before HR arrives to sort the whole thing out, to recover all of the notes and escape.
Oh my God.
And you have to find 9 notes.
Oh my God.
Well, that's pretty delightful.
Fuck, it was spectacular. Yeah. But they've got, I think they have 5 concurrently running puzzle rooms and things like that.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, we had a brilliant time. The Valentine special, which is now over, I believe, as of
makes tonight sense.
When we're recording,
right.
was a dessert and a drink, and then a puzzle trunk.
Ooh,
and nice. So we did that, and we did a puzzle room, and it was a good, like, it was a fucking great time.
I believe that.
Yeah, they also have axe throwing there. They also do art shows and a couple of other things. Yeah. So they do like, so you've started a small business and you want to know how to do the tax stuff. classes there, because the people who own it are also like licensed
tax preparers, I think.
In tax preparation.
CPAs, enrolled agents.
Yeah. Not tax preparation, but tax preparation.
Both. They have to be good at both, right, really. I suppose. So, yeah.
Yeah, who doesn't like a bit of axe throwing for a romantic evening?
Apparently, I want one. Fucking to be lot fair, of like, based on the sound that we were hearing, yeah. I have never been axe throwing. I don't know that I'd be any good at it, but the macho idiot inside of me is like, yeah, you do.
Joe and I did some axe throwing when we went to like Trail of Terror several years back. I am awful at it. Like everybody assumed I was going to be awesome. And the answer is no. I also like, and I feel like this ties into my whole, I also can't juggle. I can't juggle. I'm very bad. There's something about my brain, whatever stuff. If I let go of something, I have no idea what's happening to it after that. I can do sword stuff. I can do whips. I can do poi. Mm-hmm. I can do all this other stuff. But like, yeah, something leaving my hand just fucks with my brain. So yeah, that went poorly. I just barely did not hit the person running it.
God. That's like
I may have accidentally dropped it behind me. Like, this was like, yikes. You see that person like going bowling for the first time.
Yeah.
Only the bowling ball is sharp. Like, that's what it was.
Yeah.
Oh, fuck. Not okay.
I'm just imagining the Wii bowling thing where the ball goes back into the audience and they all go, and you watch all the little like bowling pin knees jump up in the air and get really afraid. Yeah.
Yeah, just like that. Joe was actually pretty good at it, though. Hit the target a few times, which for his first time throwing axes ever, like, now I know when the apocalypse comes, that will be his job, and by job will be the blunt force or, you know, something else. But
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's still a real good time regardless, so.
Mm-hmm.
Recommend.
I want to try that because again, the picture of the when you lack dexterity, roll with strength thing that just shows the axe in the target area, but its handle first, right?
Mm-hmm.
That seems correct. That seems like that's going to be how it goes for me.
I've done knife throwing at the oh, what the hell? The booth near the danger committee.
Yep.
Oh, sure.
That is literally their booth. So, yes.
I would love to try axe throwing at some point just to, like, I don't know. I like the idea of throwing sharp things at other things.
You got to come out to Fest next year and you can do more knife throwing and axe throwing and bow and arrow and maybe some fencing.
I think I might feel better about going to Fest this year. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's the thing. I was really impressed that I spent the entire season out there and did not get sick. Like, and I was testing every fucking week.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, guess what I got in the mail today?
We just got a letter. We just got a letter. Wonder.
Let's see. Hold on.
It looks like a package rather than
this. Yeah.
I see it.
Trying.
On go.
Stupid blue.
Mm-hmm.
It looks like some kind of like hipster startup company thingy. What's a COVID-19 antigen test?
COVID-19 test. So this has two. I have one.
Is that specifically
two,
the antigen test, though? That's three, what it looks like. Oh, my.
Four.
Oh, shit.
Five. Six.
Mm-hmm.
Seven. Eight. I have eight of these.
Eight antigen tests.
Yeah, they're the antigen self-test.
That's so good.
But yeah, it's a nasal swab. You know, the very simple at-home stuff. But since I'm going to be directing a show, I was like, I'm getting a bunch of tests, and my actors are going to be required to test every time they come in.
Idea.
Because I'm supplying it, so they have no excuse.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Well, that will be a condition of the hiring.
To do things.
Huh?
Yep.
That's a responsible way to do things, I think, right now.
Right. Like, and I know I'm going, like, a little bit more than what other theaters are doing. But it is also something I have the ability to do. I have access to more tests, sure. And I have all of this.
Yeah.
So if I can, I do. Yep. That's the rule, right? Like,
no, that makes sense. Yeah.
Anyway, so I got all of those. And I will also be taking tests. Took a test last Thursday just for funsies, and that was negative because why not test?
Granted, that one was a math test, but
that much gin, huh?
One more drink.
I think you could.
Yeah. Well, it's also going to be heavy on the gin and light on the Mountain Dew, so I don't know how that's going to go. This one was more gin heavy, and I think it doesn't quite work as well.
Yeah.
And I'm sure my great uncle Bob would be very disapproving at this use of gin. So,
wow,
he's probably rolling over in his grave in Lake Michigan right now.
I'm just disapproving because I don't like gin. Tea. But yeah,
well, that's okay. That's fair. That's fair.
I'm like, ugh, why would you do that to perfectly good Mountain Dew?
Apparently, he used to drink gin like neat. So,
yeah.
Dude was hardcore.
Yeah.
Yes, that's a word for it.
I think he would also disapprove of me using the word hardcore to describe it.
Maybe. hard to say.
So, any other Valentine's Day stuff, James?
Mostly that. Like, today itself we had plans and ended up bringing our small snake into the vet.
Aww.
Just to make sure that he's doing okay. Turns out he's probably just a little moody because
he's a teenager.
Coming up. kind of. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So
teenage snake.
Yeah.
now I'm trying to filk why must I be a teenager in love?
Oh yeah. No, I was thinking of Teenage Wasteland. Was the
teenager and a snake.
Yeah.
That's all I got. I'm not very good at writing.
No, books. That was great. That was exactly what was required. Yeah.
Excellent.
You're doing your due diligence and we appreciate it. Yeah.
Mm.
So there was that. We ended up instead of me making romantic dinner, we picked up poke, which is a romantic dinner.
Poke is good though.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, poke?
Poke.
Yeah, poke is...
you want to explain it.
Yeah, a burrito bowl is kind of like if a burrito was put in a bowl and blew up, right? And poke is like if sushi was put in a bowl and blown up.
I thought it was called a sushi poke bowl.
Well, what's interesting is there is a kind of sushi called chidashi sushi, which is basically like sushi in a bowl with rice. But poke is like... is slightly different in that it has different toppings, but it's a similar concept. And I think the poke is not sushi meshi, so it's not like the seasoned steamed rice with sugar and rice vinegar. It's just regular steamed rice.
Okay.
It can be regular steamed rice, or, and my personal favorite, is it can be mixed greens.
Ooh, so it's like a salad.
Yeah, so it's like a sushi salad, which is fucking amazing.
Yeah. What I really like, though, is the sushi burritos.
Yeah.
Those are very good.
I would eat a sushi burrito.
So I went to Kiachi on Thursday.
So
I love Kiachi.
Which place did you go to?
One on Nicollet.
Okay. Yep. That's fair.
For the audience at home who could not see this, Tom clapped their hands happily and like...
I love Kiachi so much. Like, it's one of my favorite, like, kind of contemporary Japanese places.
Sure. So, like, Joe and I used to go to Fujiya all the time, and that was kind of, like, our place to go.
I miss Fujiya.
And Fujiya is no more. May it rest in peace.
Yeah.
But Kiachi was kind of our backup place, right? Like, we would go there, especially, what do you call it? Ashizuki? The pressed sushi?
Which one are you talking about? Ashizuki.
Pressed into little loaves?
Is it?
Yeah, it's like the lemon bar of sushi. I don't know how else to describe it.
I'm thinking of Tom. Wait, what? Okay, what's in it?
It's just basically sushi, but like
fish. Is it
a
like,
little bit more? Yeah, it's fish and rice.
Okay, I think
it's,
I know.
It's
what you're
like nigiri, but there might be a little bit more on it. Is really the only difference, but it's pressed into a box.
Sushi. I'm literally just Googling this. Sushi.
What was it?
Oshizushi Hako is pressed sushi box. Oshizushi. There we go.
Okay.
I think that's what you're talking about.
Yeah, that sounds right.
Preliminary Googling. Oshizushi.
Yeah. I thought the server pronounced it Oshizuki.
Oh.
But that they could have been incorrect on it, so
also possible.
Yeah.
Now I want to open a restaurant called Sushi Zuna.
What is it? What did you say?
Sushi Zuna, like Yokozuna, but it's and it would be a little sumo wrestler made out of different sushi stacked. would be the logo, and it would be like, you know, big sushi.
That's such a nerdy fucking joke, and I love it. I'm here for it.
Yeah.
But anyway, I went there for a friend's birthday, not with Joe. So we were able to eat and sample different sushis.
Mm-hmm.
But they also have hot dogs there. And I've never...
I've never done hot dog stuff
because when I want sushi...
You don't really want a hot dog.
I want fish. That's what... what's in my brain?
That's a new t-shirt. Hashtag, what? I've never done hot dog stuff.
God.
Ugh, all right.
Although, I would like to try their hot dogs, but I'm never in a mood for a hot dog if I go to Kyachi.
Exactly. Yeah, like, that's the thing. Like, yeah. I'm not opposed to the concept of it. I just want my raw fish. Mm-hmm. That's what I'm there for. I'm not even there for, like, the tempura stuff. I don't care. I want raw fish. Whether that raw fish is wrapped up in stuff, set on top of a bed of stuff, smushed in with a bunch of other stuff, or just the raw fish. What I want is the raw fish.
Yeah.
One of my favorite, I don't know if this was one of my favorite, but this was certainly one of the most entertaining things that I did abroad in Japan is, so I went to this specific region in Japan, or the city was Morioka. And they have this tradition. Oh God, what the hell is it called? It's basically an eating contest with soba. And so they have these like servers who will dump tiny little bowls of soba, and you have to finish all of it.
Oh my God.
And I think I don't know how many bowls. I didn't eat very many just because I don't like eating contests. I just I wanted, but I remember just like having slabs of super super fresh tuna sashimi and watching other people just get tortured by having tiny bowls of soba dumped into their giant bowl, and they had to eat them all.
I mean,
wonko soba, that was what it was called.
Okay,
just remembered.
The thing is, when Joe and I go out for sushi, he is very much so a nigiri person.
Okay,
makes sense.
I am a sashimi person overall. If it's a super fishy fish, then I also want it on rice just because, like, that helps with some of the fishiness.
It tempers
it. But, like, fucking tuna, salmon, yellowtail, like, just give me the fish. Just give me the fish. Just throw that fish in my mouth. That's
especially
what I'm here
tuna.
For. Yeah.
Especially tuna.
Yeah.
I like any belly cut. Because the belly cuts are so buttery, and so it's like fish butter. It's so delicious.
Have you been to Sushi Train?
Sushi Train. Is that the place?
Sushi Train. Yeah.
That's the Kaiten Sushi Bar over on Nicollet near the Hyatt, where the new Convergence Hotel.
Yeah. I went there the first Convergence. Joe and I went there because he was like, I need out of this hotel. And I was like, okay, honey. Well, good. Well, do you want sushi? Mm-hmm. Let's go get some sushi. There's a sushi place around the corner. And then we were there and it was delightful.
I love Sushi Train. I miss, like, one of the things I miss about Japan is like the overabundance of Kaiten sushi. And it is very easy to just like eat a whole bunch.
Yeah.
Whoa, yeah.
But it's very wonderful.
Yeah. So speaking of other foods that come from Japan, Tom knows about this, but James does not.
Ah.
Or at least I haven't said so out loud tonight. Maybe James read my Facebook post, but my partner is not a chocolates and roses type of guy. That's just not his thing. So instead, for Valentine's Day, what he got was a 12-ounce Wagyu steak.
Oh, my God.
That is the correct reaction.
That is what Tom did earlier, too.
My mouth is watering right now.
Mine still is, actually.
No, mine too.
He did this on Friday. He was like, happy Valentine's Day.
Oh.
And it was just like he showed me this vacuum-sealed, gloriously marbled. Oh, my God. Like, it was just like thin bits, like in between, like...
Of intramuscular fat.
Oh my God. So yeah, he cut it into a couple of pieces and fried it up and we ate it. And it was so rich. I am glad, like, we shared it. And like, I think his intent was for me to eat more of it because it was like his Valentine's Day present to me. And he kept trying to give me more. And I was like, you don't understand. I cannot eat more of this. It is so buttery.
It's not happening.
It is so buttery. And yeah, I was telling Tom earlier, like, Joe doesn't actually have steak knives, which is a little weird. You would think, right? But no. So I grabbed a parry knife so that I could cut this into bite-sized pieces. And like, I could have used a butter knife. It just...
Dang.
Yeah. It was so rich and so buttery. Tom, what I was thinking of earlier was cooked bone marrow.
Oh my God, okay. Yes.
That makes sense.
Very, very similar thing, only with a little bit more meat, but it's still kind of that congealed fat, kind of a richness, that buttery fat goodness. But just with like more meat. Kind of in there, like you barely have to chew is the thing, like it is just so very
have you served it with anything, or was it just like just a slab of Wagyu by itself?
We just ate that and then we had a cigarette afterwards because it was that fucking good. And then we're like, so should we have like some real food or something? He's like, yeah, probably. And we went down to town hall because we could. But
One does.
Right. So, yeah. No, he was like, I should have thought to have gotten something to have this with. And I was like, no, no. This was a glorious experience that you and I got to share, wherein we had some very, I assume, pricey as fuck all, very buttery, delicious goodness. And we can just keep it in that bubble of memory unto itself. Thank you for facilitating this experience we got to share.
Have either of you heard of the Wagyu Katsusando?
No, but I'm intrigued.
So a Katsusando, so katsu sandwich is like those, either a pork or chicken cutlet that's been like breaded and deep fried.
Yeah, katsu.
You can, chicken, like katsu or tonkatsu or chicken katsu. It's like Japanese.
James, I'm going to remind you that I am Japan stupid, so I will want all of the descriptions.
Oh, no, please. Absolutely. Yeah.
So essentially, it's like Japanese Wiener Schnitzel that you serve with like a barbecue sauce sort of thing.
Okay.
And then, so a katsu sando is the Japanese style Wiener Schnitzel on bread with the Japanese barbecue sauce and maybe some mayonnaise. So then
it's like a
pork tenderloin sandwich, except like fancier, I guess.
Okay. Sure.
And not made of pork tenderloin, made of like usually a pork chop.
Sure.
But anyway, so somebody got the brilliant idea to take Wagyu and make it into a tonkatsu. So they bread and deep fry it like tonkatsu and then put that on a sandwich. And it's like $100 for like 4 little strips of sandwich.
Yes.
But that's really
because,
all you need.
Like, you can't eat more than that. Let's be clear. That's a really bad time.
Yeah.
Right.
Oh my God.
Like,
I don't even smoke and I need a cigarette.
I know, right? Like, I will forever be trying to explain this experience to other people. The bone marrow thing is where I can get closest, the roasted bone marrow.
Oh my!
Where it's just, you just put it in your mouth and it just melts.
Yeah. Yep.
And you're like, yeah, it was just like that. Only meatier somehow, but still didn't really need to chew. I did. Mostly out of habit, I think. Anyway, but yeah, that was my Valentine's Day or celebration, I guess.
Yeah, Valentine's celebration. I mean, that, you know, you did it in spirit of the, that makes, even if you didn't do it tonight, like Monday right. is the least romantic night of the week, I feel like.
It really is. What the hell? Congratulations to anybody that got romance tonight. Cause like,
cheers to you.
Yeah.
Woo.
I like being able to cheers to toast the camera.
Toast the camera.
Yep.
Oh, shit.
Okay, everybody wants to go.
I'm gonna
you are freaking out, man.
Mountain Dew and gin all over my very nice keyboard.
Don't do that. Don't do that.
I know. It's a very nice keyboard.
Actually,
this whole computer setup was Rem's birthday / Christmas present to me last year.
Aww. So sweet.
That's so good.
I mean, it has enabled us to play many games together, so.
Yeah.
Which, you know, I feel like, so here's the thing, like, my love languages are quality time and acts of service, right? Mm-hmm. So the fact that, like, so this is an example for me with the Wagyu that Joe got, is that we spent quality time together eating food that he cooked, which is just like the most me love languagey type of thing you could do, right? Yeah. I was just like, me, big hearts all over the place, bubbling up, going up. And like, so I think that any kind of gift that you get like that from a partner where it speaks to your love languages is just like so fucking beautiful. It doesn't have to be the more cliche candies and hearts and flowers and all of that stuff, or jewelry or whatever. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Fucking bow tie. I don't know what people get each other for these things.
Do people get bow ties for each other? I'd be curious to know.
I mean, I would.
I think James would enjoy a bow tie. I think if somebody gave James a bow tie, James would be like, "Oh my god!" Especially like if it was small.
James would rock a bow tie for sure.
I feel like they're appropriate for a vest.
So yeah, I feel like any kind of gift that a partner gives you to continue to facilitate your relationship is just like an automatic awesome win, right?
Yeah.
I feel honor bound to let you know I'm entirely out of gin. It's very
sad. No.
I know. Well, I can get more.
The worst has happened.
It's true.
Should we take a break?
Yeah, I think we could take a break.
Probably get up and
has everybody
give me a break.
Everybody discussed their Valentine's plans?
Yeah.
Did we?
Good.
Yeah, right. I think we did. Good. Yeah.
Yeah.
We played Monster Canada. Okay, I was just recounting in my head if we
I did in fact Sunday I bought Joe Chinese food.
I'm curious, what is your like go to thing for ordering when you order Chinese?
Okay, so
just a question to the panel. I didn't realize this was a panel, but apparently now it is.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Oh,
yes, absolutely. There are boxes and everything, so it's very panel-y.
It's like Hollywood Squares, but littler.
My number one is broccoli beef.
Ooh,
I am consistently on the lookout for more iron in my life.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a great way to do it.
Beef and broccoli.
Second one is almond cashew. chicken cashew.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
And then I like a lot of restaurants will have like a Four Seasons where it's a mix of different vegetables and meats that they have, usually like mm-hmm. a shrimp and a chicken and stuff like that. Or something that goes by a name like that. Like they always kind of... Huh?
You don't mean like Vivaldi?
No, not Vivaldi. Oh, no, okay. But they'll call it like the Four Chinese Seasons or the Chinese Princess or the... Like they'll give it some kind of a decorative name.
Sure, sure.
And so you always have to read the ingredients to see what it is that you're eating. But like, sure. Yeah, it's kind of a... that thing, but yeah, so it's like a veggies and a mixed meats kind of platter.
Okay.
None of the Four Seasons are MSG.
Oh,
I
no.
Yeah. So my go-to is always Singapore chow mein phun, which is a rice noodle with like seven kinds of meat and then curry powder.
Well, that like sounds good.
Like a thick curry sauce mm-hmm. mixed in.
I always have to be careful with curry sauces.
Because they might have coconut.
Yep.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
And they likely with Chinese than say like Vietnamese or Thai, sure. But yeah. Like it's still one of those concerns. Like yeah. You know.
In this case, I think it's just a curry seasoning.
Curry you know what's funny is I thought I liked Kung Pao chicken. I like Kung Pao chicken.
Oh.
Like it's okay. It's just not. My yeah. favorite is okay. like okay. Vegetable or chicken or beef lo mein.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Like 10 years, and then I worked at that camp for a couple of years, and there was this mm-hmm. Chinese dish that they would serve called Mapo Tofu, which was ground pork, green onions, and like big-ass chunks of tofu mm-hmm. in this spicy sauce, and you serve it mm-hmm. over rice.
Okay.
It's real good. Whenever a Chinese restaurant has Mapo Tofu, I always snap it up because it's such a like nostalgic and childhood
Aww.
Dish for that reason. Mm. Mm-hmm. I should learn to make it myself. It's not that hard.
Yeah. Yeah, so Tom, make some.
I yeah. really should.
Well, make some for us. Share it. Invite us yeah. over. We'll come
I
out.
I will. Hell.
Okay, then.
I
have plenty of COVID tests to make sure that we're all good.
You know what? I could even do like a summer picnic type thing because we have this like picnic area in our apartment.
Oh, yeah.
And I could do like mapo tofu and we could do like out... on the picnic tables.
I am planning on, depending on how the summer shapes up, just having people over in that area where you were at, Tom.
You have a nice like outdoor area.
I have such a good outdoor area, like just across the way. And like
that's a weird way to flirt. I don't
I didn't realize people were flirting with me, but you know, story of my life, I suppose.
Okay.
Very hard. I'm trying very hard not to spit and drink all over my very nice keyboard.
Well, good luck.
But no, like I have that space like directly across from my apartment complex, and it's lovely. It's like right next to the lagoon, mm-hmm. so like there's a nice cool breeze that tends to come from that, depending on you know situation. Mm-hmm. There's a nice lawn. We can do some lawn bowling. Like as soon as the weather gets nice, I'm just gonna have regular picnics across the street. I'm just doing
yeah.
that.
I'll bring mapo tofu and rice on my bike.
Yes. Yeah, we're just going to do it. It's going to be like an every other Sunday afternoon thing.
And I will bring pizza rolls, yeah. which cannot possibly be made on a grill.
Oh.
It's a tradition.
All right.
And I'll bring a pineapple to be different.
Oh, a pineapple is a wonderful housewarming gift. It's a sign of welcome as well.
I'm allergic to pineapple.
Oh, God damn it.
You don't have to eat it. You can just appreciate it as an objet d'art.
I can just look at it and glory in its existence. Okay.
This is when we find out that Jenna is also allergic to seeing pineapple. That's
oh my eyes. Okay.
Oh no, no. We should protect Jenna's eyes from pineapples.
That's correct. Yes. Yeah.
This is the takeaway that I am taking away.
See, here's the thing. Here's the thing about pineapple is I've never been a massive fan of pineapple. Like it's always been one of those things, like, I can tolerate it, but I'm not a huge fan. And, like, I always got kind of the tingles because pineapple tries to eat you.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, that's a thing. And I know that that's a thing with pineapple. But then, like, after a while, like, I think it was only a few years ago, I started to get, like, an honest-to-God sore throat with it. And I was like, yeah. ha-ha, now I have an excuse not to eat this thing that I don't like.
So I actually made a TikTok about pineapple, the snack that tastes you back, where it was like, it was me like eating pineapple, then realizing what that meant, and then like going to spit it out. It's a very silly TikTok.
Nice. I approve wholeheartedly.
I can have it included in the show notes if people would like to see that.
Yes.
Video. I, for one, would love that.
We have to have it now.
I shall send the link.
It's very important.
Speaking of things that we have to have, let's have a break.
Let's have a break.
Yes.
Okay.
All right.
Ladies and gentlemen, Brandon Patton was kind enough to give us the music for this episode and every episode. You can see what he's up to at brandonpatton.com. You can also subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, but especially you can help us out by rating our show. Check out our merch. You can go to society6.com/AON podcast.
It'll probably happen.
Shut up, stupid creepy robot voice. I don't. Stop.
And we're back. I'm James.
I'm Jenna.
And I'm Tom St.
Yay!
Yay!
We did it!
Woo! All right.
What did we do?
That might actually be one of the smoothest transitions we've had. Awkwardly.
I suppose we'll take what we can get, right?
Right, yeah.
I mean, sort of generally, yeah.
Yeah. Hey, Tom. Tell us about yourself. Justify your existence.
Yes.
Justify my existence. Well... Well, on this spinning rock of sadness and misery, I don't know if I can adequately do that, but I will certainly give it a try.
That was lovely, and I'm very happy. Yes. Please continue.
I'm glad I could be here for that.
Mm-hmm.
So, nominally, in my spare time, when I'm not, like, working for money because capitalism requires us to.
Good. Yeah.
I know. Can we have an F in the chat for capitalism here?
Have.
I mean, yeah, we're not streaming. We're going to post this later, but
oh shit!
I am super excited
though.
We're trying to do a transition here, James. God damn it!
No, here's the thing though: is that I really hope that the people in our Discord channel, when they hear this, put an F in the Discord channel.
Oh, absolutely,
I would be so happy, and I believe we should all do that for Tom. In fact, I will probably listen to this episode again later, and when it happens, it might be a couple days from now, it might be 2 weeks from now. When it happens, I will put an F in the Discord server
for capital,
because I've just now. Listen to myself telling me that I am going to do that.
So what you're saying is like podcasting is just leaving elaborate little notes for yourself, assuming you listen to your own podcast.
I need to do that more.
It's like leaving a voicemail on a stranger's phone.
Do you do that often, James? Or
yes.
There was a time.
I believe that James just calls random numbers and leaves voicemail messages all the time.
That's my headcanon for you, like, James, now.
When I worked
five times a day. Oh, fuck. You did work at a bookstore.
Uh-huh.
And you did have free time.
I had to call people when their books got in. And the problem was, this was well before I had a phone job. Answering phones for Apple. So, these messages were effectively fucking podcasts. To the point where... occasionally a second message would occur that was just like, ignore that previous message. I'm an idiot. Your book is in. Come get it. You know,
did you just leave them like little bits of life advice? Like, you know, you should probably go out for that job you've always wanted.
That would have been so much better. We would have done so well as a business if I had like little happy, fortune
wisdom nuggets.
Messages.
Yeah,
to offer to people. Yeah, a little eight ball advice. Sure.
Speaking of which, James's wisdom nuggets would make a great podcast idea.
It sounds gross.
It sounds accurate.
Uh-huh. Yeah. It sounds like a vegan chicken alternative. Is what it sounds like.
Wisdom nuggets. It does.
Yeah. James is now a vegan chicken alternative.
Yeah,
I've declared this to be
an alternative.
So.
Well,
okay. Was I supposed to be talking about myself? I'm sorry.
Yeah,
I get
that's
very.
That's what we're leading into. Is,
okay, I will. I will.
And now you have all met Tom.
Yes.
Hello. I'm so sorry.
Nope. Don't apologize. Own it.
I will own it. Nice to meet you. That. Now you nice now you know you. Exactly Good. What you're getting from Good me. You, yeah. Okay. So anyway, back to what I was actually saying. So when I'm not working, I am a theater artist. I am a video game player, soon to be video game streamer.
Ooh.
So that's exciting. You know,
have you done any projects with any current streamers, possibly actually, on this podcast?
I appreciate the very obvious hints that Jenna is bringing. So I have started out by guesting on other people's streams. So I've started out by guesting on Jenna's Twitch stream where she, when she streamed Monster Prom, because we've called it Prom with Tom, because it's very clever.
Yes, it is.
It's a very fun time.
I can only play Monster Prom with Tom.
Mm-hmm. It's not prom without Tom.
That's right.
I've just got these like memeable catchphrases that I can just spout off at any given moment.
Yes, love it. Market that.
So I've been guessing. I did a Dead by Daylight stream with my friend Mike Ooh. D, which went very poorly. Although it did yield a very funny clip where I was trying to fix a generator and he was like hanging on a hook right behind me and he was like, "I'm just hanging out." So, but I did decide that I will start streaming once a month on my own Twitch stream, and I will bump that up to more often if there is more interest. April 2nd will be my first solo
Yay!
Stream. So I'm very excited Woo! And intimidated and all of those other adjectives.
That's so cool. Everybody on this podcast should go follow Tom right now. I'm sure the link will be in the show notes.
I will send James the link so that he can add it to the show notes.
Okay. Yeah, because I'm lazy. Yeah. But
follow their TikTok.
Ooh.
Well, don't follow my TikTok. I would say follow my Twitter. Which
you are the...
okay. So follow my Twitch and my Twitter. I'm not as active on TikTok. I am more active. I will be more active on Twitch. And I am currently more active on Twitter, so I will send James all of those relevant links.
So how do you feel about Instagram? Sorry, I'm done.
Instagram is where I post my nail art, so.
Which is amazing, by the way.
I it's just a little thing that I do.
I love nail art.
I only decorate my nails like this when I don't care how they are.
I actually did my first set of gel extensions this past weekend, and it is very, I'm not unused to having my nails this long. What's weird is having my nails this long and like as thick as I made them, because I'm not very good at gel extensions yet. So I need more practice.
Sure.
But
I get that.
But yeah. I mean, Instagram is where I post selfies and nail art. So if you're into that, I would say definitely follow me on Instagram.
I have a thing where I don't like things tugging or pulling on my nails, which means like putting on gel or acrylic or any of that is just right the fuck out. And rarely do I do nail polish. Okay. However, I love looking at your nail art. Like, I'm just like, oh man, I wish that I didn't have this weird nail thing, because I would try to be cool like Tom.
They are very cool.
Blush.
Yes.
They are blush.
That was intentional. That was intentional. I'm just sending James all of the links that I would like him to link at this point in the podcast.
Well, we'll see what I can do.
Oh my God, James.
I mean, really, honestly, it's going to be that I hand those links over to Salsa and then Salsa, like a responsible podcaster.
So if that doesn't happen, it's Salsa's fault, not James's fault.
We blame Salsa entirely.
No, I'm going to say go ahead and blame me anyway, because it's probably something I did wrong.
Are you just like preemptively taking the blame even if Salsa is the one messing up?
Yeah. Yeah.
Why would you do that though? Like, why wouldn't you let the proper blame have its proper place?
Well, you know, I'm the engineer.
This really this messes with my organizational skills, James. You need to stop messing with my organization, categorization. If it's Salsa's fault, he takes the blame.
Okay. I'm actually...
If it's my fault, you take the blame.
I need you to make a business case for that submitted in writing. That's...
Okay.
Oh, we're getting all official about this shit, are we?
Apparently.
Well, one of us is a project manager.
Oh fuck. I have to re-up my PMP. God damn it. Anyway.
Gotta keep that pimp hand strong.
Yeah. It was my favorite. I was going into... Nope, I'm distracting. Tom, this is your bad influence, and I love it.
True.
Yes.
Yes.
I'm here for it.
Literally.
I'm just going to flash my nails on screen right now.
Yeah.
Because it's an audio medium. It's not like this is a video-based podcast.
No, that is the persistent joke of the podcast. Yeah.
It is.
Yeah.
When I went in to get my PMP certification, like the very first going through the test and everything, I was like the night before, I was like, I'm so freaked out by this test. Like, it's such a big fucking deal. And our friend Kruger was like, I want you to repeat after me. My pimp hand is strong. I was like, my pimp hand is strong. And he's like, no, louder. I'm like, my pimp hand is strong. He's like, yes. And this is all over text, by the way.
It sounds like a very Kruger thing to say, if I'm being very honest.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I will never not think of that when I go to renew my PMP certifications.
PMP dynamite.
Dynamite.
Yeah, good. All right.
I remember that reference.
Oh, yay.
All right.
So, Tom, do you have any, like, shows or things like that that you're working on right now?
Oh, I do. So, okay, so I have one I can actually talk about. This one. So this one is going to be for the modified Fearless Comedy
event
fundraiser, because we're not doing
spring
Die Laughing.
Fundraiser event. Yes.
Spring fundraiser that is not Die Laughing, because Die Laughing is 3 days and this is only one day. So this is the I fucking forgot what I submitted as the title, but it's like the Strange Lovecraftian Half Hour, but it's described as like a completely normal humorous storytelling show. So, I think people who've seen my Lovecraft-based stand-up will have probably an idea of what's
first
coming.
First thing that I ever knew about you was lesbian Lovecraft fan fiction.
I forgot about that! So, I'm also kind of known for, like, writing weird horror, erotica, and romance. So, sometimes I forget, like, I do have an erotic novella that I'm working on. It's sort of like I need to look at it again and like motivate myself to keep working on it. But right now, what I have is this idea for a half hour, like, storytelling stand-up show where my character is possessed by a Lovecraftian entity and like takes over for the rest of the show. I'm super excited to start working on it.
It sounds fucking fantastic.
I'm so stoked. I like, apparently my niche, like, stand-up comedy topics are like shitty cisnormative bathroom signs and like weird Lovecraft shit. It's like, those are my two niches, and I don't know, I can't stray out of those, I suppose.
All right.
I mean
everybody's got a thing.
Awesome niche to have. Really.
It kind of is. It's like, it feels like an area of comedy that not many people are getting into. What's interesting is that, like, I like writing things from the perspective of monsters and like weird things, because it feels like an expression of like non-binariness that I find very appealing.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's like I inhabit this human suit, but then like there's this otherness going on.
Yeah.
Which may also explain all of the like cephalopod tattoos and things I have.
Well, there was an in-depth thing which was mentioned by a content creator that I follow, and unfortunately I don't fucking remember who or where, probably TikTok. They were talking about how there was a study about Disney villains, and especially non-human Disney villains, or like magical Disney villains, and being non-heteronormative, non-cis, and all of these other things, like a lot of people fell in love with these villains and had no idea why. They were all about Scar, they were all about Ursula, they were all about, you know, whomever.
I mean, Scar is the most extra bitter queen I have ever seen, and he speaks to my soul directly. So
I rewatched Hercules right before this because I needed me some Meg in my life.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Who doesn't need some Meg in their life? Let's be honest.
I think Meg's voice is Rose Quartz.
Yes, yes, that is the same voice actor. She also voices Lynn Ordean in Spirited Away.
Yes.
In the English dub.
Oh, she's okay.
Wonderful. She's a very prolific voice actor. Anyway, you were going to say something about Meg and Hercules. Yes,
about Hercules, yeah.
Oh, I was just like, because Hades is not human, but also human kind of a thing.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Absolutely.
Uh-huh.
Hades is kind of the only grown-up in the movie.
Kind of is.
Like, yeah. Phil is a little bit...
I mean, but he's played by what's-his-face? Danny
DeVito.
Fuck his face. I don't know why I said Danny fuck his face, but that just came out.
So I mean, you do you, buddy.
I suppose. I'm sorry, but Danny fuck his face doesn't really do anything for me.
Well, that's fair.
Well, okay.
But
so
they
were
talking about how all of these Disney villains are strongly...
Queer-coded?
Queer-coded, yeah.
Okay. As
drag queens, like Ursula.
Is literally a drag queen.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
With like divine eyeshadow and lip color.
And like very exaggerated features and just like, I mean, like there was somebody... there was somebody in my elementary school who used to like compare me to Ursula, probably because I had that same body type, and I used to be kind of annoyed by it, but because I was a little kid, and shit's shitty when you're a little kid. But yeah, now dude. I like totally embrace my inner Ursula, and I'm here for it.
Yeah.
Anyway, I'll let you finish your point.
No, but before I start, I think that I think that might be part of it, but like. I think that kind of thing is super fucking fascinating. And so that feeling of non-humanness, I think is also super fucking. Because that not only is there an overlap with the circle of being in the Alphabet Mafia,
I've always called it the Rainbow Alphabet, but the Alphabet Mafia is so much better. Oh my god.
I need
to message Joe.
But then a lot of neurodiversity and things like I, as a kid, identified with Brent Spiner's Data, identified with Andrew from Bicentennial Man and a lot of other non-human
like
robot
robots.
Characters.
Yeah,
because I haven't been diagnosed yet, but I struggled with other people's emotions, and so those were very representative characters for me.
Yeah.
Also, you know, I never super got into villains, but I. Definitely love sea creatures, so a strong overlap in our interests. No, I think that's fucking awesome, though. How does that interest in non-humanness usually exhibit itself during your stand-up sets, during your shows? How do you talk about that?
So I think there is an element, at least in this particular show that I'm writing, there will be an element of like possession. So it is meant to be like partly a comedy show and partly a horror show. Like when I did the opener for Vilification Tennis's Lovecraft theme show, and I did kind of the same thing, but I started as me, and then the joke was like, oh shit, it's gonna get weird, here's the tentacle hand, la, and then and then I go into that like non-human persona, and so my voice changes, I have a different sort of I haven't really played with my physicality just because I'm usually sitting when I do these shows, but I would love to like the first two times I've done this sort of bit I was definitely sitting down. So because it was either in front of a screen or it was a streaming show or it was a live show where I was just sitting because that was easier. But I would love to like play more with my physicality and how I move, because I think that would be, I think that would be an interesting way to express that sort of otherness or non-humanness that I try to convey in this bit,
yeah.
in this extended sure. bit. And there's going to be an element of like transformation between the human and the non-human.
Sort of okay. the werewolf movie montage where the
yeah.
they slowly apply the makeup.
or like it slowly starts to happen with like, you know, a little tick or mm-hmm. or like a little voice sure. shift. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, I remember that as a co-writer, we were all very enthusiastic about incorporating that into Matt Kesson's performance in the show that
the Jake and Hank yeah I remember that
Hank,
that was so
Hank
cool.
and Jake Killette and I wonder if that might have been inspired a lot by your interests and by your persona.
I think that's definitely fair to like whether it was conscious or not. I'm sure that made its way into the writing of it.
Yeah.
And for those who don't know, this was like a PBS like
pledge drive
show with a co-host that was very slowly possessed.
Yes.
And Matt Kesson played the cult the cultist who slowly just got more deranged and that was a fun mm-hmm. show.
Yeah.
We should revive that at some point.
Yeah, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Hmm.
So yeah, that's the thing I'm writing for Fearless Fest is sort of awesome. Is definitely inspired by those mm-hmm. sorts of interests.
Nice. Mm-hmm. Do you have other? You said that you might have other shows that are not public right now, so you're not gonna.
I'm not gonna like announce.
You don't know where they're at yet.
There's this like. So there's
what,
it's
what one, hints it's, can you give us?
So. What I can give is like there's this one act musical that I've been working on. It's not mm-hmm. got a permanent home yet. I'm still trying to figure out certain aspects of it, but I have a basic premise and it's like mm-hmm. it's like 40 minutes and it's taking place in a brewery. And it's like a cute little romantic comedy musical. How do I sum it up? It's like boy meets girl. Girl mm-hmm. is very, very anxious about all of the things, and they're like, "What if you do it anyway?" And then the boy and girl talk, and it's like, "Let's go on a date." And that's the entire musical. So it's okay. meant to fit in like a very small space of time.
Sure, sure. sure.
So that's nice. The thing I'm kind of working on right now, but it does not have a permanent home. Or,
is there a specific urge or inclination that drove you towards coming up with this concept? Was there was it bickering back and forth and suddenly you had this idea? Was it
I'm going to be very very barefaced about it. I want more musicals with fat women ingenues. Mm. So mm-hmm. that's my impetus.
Absolutely.
And I'm just like I want just more fat femmes in general on mm-hmm. in musicals.
Love it.
Yeah,
absolutely
so
love
four
it.
Characters. It's super,
I'm
super short.
It
could be like a fringe show, basically.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Is what I would like for this.
Well, cool. Whatever you do, don't have Jenna produce for you because then it will be on a wait list
for like 10 years. Yeah, yeah. Don't. Nope.
That's how that happens.
You remember when you got like on? You got like into the fringe, and that was pandemic. Year zero,
yep.
basically.
Yep.
I was there when that happened.
I sure the fuck do remember that. Like, I was number five on the wait list, which is the closest to in that I
That's
had gotten in 10
in.
Goddamn
yeah.
years.
Yeah.
And then, like, I was in, and then they were like, mind. And I'm like, ah, son of a bitch.
Yeah. Well, and that's kind of the reason it doesn't have a home yet is because I don't want to produce it for the Fringe. One, because I have other things I want to do with my money and time right now.
Yeah.
Fair.
And two, I don't know what the state of it is right now.
I wonder if anybody's ever done Twitch as a radio show.
I'm sure somebody has to have, right?
Yeah.
Here, let me just Google the phrase Twitch
just in case.
Radio show.
I'm gonna call dibs.
Most popular talk shows and podcast Twitch streamers, February 2022. So apparently it's a whole category, Twitch talk shows and podcasts. Or do you mean like audio dramas type things?
I mean like audio drama. Like,
oh, okay. That one I'm not sure about.
You know,
people, like a radio show, but on Twitch?
I know that people have done like live streaming shows on Zoom.
Did a Twitch stream.
Ooh. I'll have to think about that.
Yeah.
I could host a Twitch radio play. I'd be down for that. I love me.
Have like a hosting persona? Yeah. Yeah.
Well, other than me cosplaying continually... Cecil Baldwin or Cecil right. Palmer, excuse me, not Cecil Baldwin, but
yeah,
but
cosplaying Cecil Baldwin's character. Much easier. You just show up like... as an elder gay and where Cecil Palmer
is the character
is an eldritch gay. Yeah.
Well, you know what's you know what's funny is so because there were like fewer things to do at Convergence that I usually do last year. Mm-hmm. And people were like, "Shit, we need people for the masquerade." I'm like, "I'll sign up for the masquerade." And so mm-hmm. I did my Cecil cosplay. And like, you become a minor celebrity when you do the masquerade because everybody's like, "Hey, Cecil!" I'm like, "Yes, that's me." And then there was one person who thought I was the Joker, and I'm like, I could see how you got there because my blue hair had faded to green, and I was wearing purple lipstick, but no, I wasn't the Joker.
No, not the same.
But yes, it was very fun being, like, recognized as, like, hey, Cecil! Like, yeah. That was the entire point.
Fantastic.
I don't know if I'll ever do that again, but that was fun.
Yeah,
absolutely. Have an experience.
Indeed. Mm-hmm. Experiences were definitely had.
At a Convergence? I'm shocked.
Shocked. Shocked that experiences were had at Convergence.
Shocked, 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 shocked.
Everybody.
Yeah, good, good.
Anything else?
I suppose I should talk about my Twitch streaming.
Oh, okay.
Other than, like, I'm going to be Twitch streaming.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, what are you doing? What's your plan?
So,
what's your...
So my plan currently, I have this adventure game called Dropsy that I've been wanting to play for a really long time. And so I figured that would be an excuse to just, like, play it on stream. I've started Bastion already, so I'm kind of already in the middle of Bastion, so I don't really want to start a new one.
Sure.
Yeah. I could. I'm already in the middle of the Outer Worlds, so I don't really want to start that. I'm like in the middle of Grim Fandango, so I don't want to start that. So I was like, okay, fine. Mm-hmm. What's a game that I've wanted to play for a while? And so I was like, I hit on Dropsy, which I actually heard about from this BreadTuber called Innuendo Studios, who also does games criticism and games analysis. So he did. He did a video about adventure games about Jesus, and he compared I was thinking Jenna might perk her ears up at this. This is an interest. Actually, I'll send you this video. I think you would enjoy this, and I'll also put this video in the show notes. But
yes, please.
It is comparing two old school pixel art adventure games that were released around the same time and actually crowdfunded in the same way. They were both run by a Kickstarter campaign.
Oh, wow.
And one is called Alum and one is called Dropsy. And they're both about sort of Christianity and like Jesus. And it's an interesting comparison that he does. But Dropsy intrigues me a lot more just because, the impression that I get from the video, and I don't know if I'll play Alum. I might at some point. We'll see.
Sure.
But Dropsy strikes me as more of like about the philosophy of Christianity rather than about like proselytizing, which is, it seems to be one of the themes of Alum, at least as far as this person's analysis is concerned.
No, then I'm definitely more interested in Dropsy.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's like you are this. You are this weird clown man who like has no friends and your dad is sick. And so you're trying to like get money for medical care and just, like trying to make your way in the world. Basically, it sounds like
a lighthearted romp.
James?
I hate to be a disappoint. I was about to ask
how you romp, but I don't want to know the answer to that.
I don't want to know the answer.
Which game is next? Are you going
to
go for That Dragon Cancer, or is there like an RPG of Madoka Magica somewhere that you could play to hurt people?
I mean, there probably is. Let's be real.
That's probably. Mm.
Make actually.
Stephen Senpai is definitely going to respond to this show's notes.
Yes.
With a list of fucking, like, these are games that will hurt you.
Yeah. And this is definitely games. A game that will hurt you. I'm just going to pop that that YouTube video. The adventure game is literally called.
It's going to be
COVID.
So many notes, and Salsa's going to be like, "What the fuck did
what
you guys do while I wasn't there?
What the hell going on here, y'all?"
We recorded for 3 hours and just watched a series of YouTube videos that the listeners couldn't see. That's what we did.
Yeah. Yep.
That was it. That was 100%.
It's great.
We turned this podcast into a YouTube party. It's excellent.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean,
awesome. Anything else that you want to say?
My immature brain just wanted to go butts because I'm very immature like that.
We already have a James. I'm sorry, Tom.
My
we
tag on Discord
have two
says,
Jameses. What?
Says unprofessional butts.
Yes.
When you look at my user.
On Discord.
On Discord,
oh,
it says unprofessional butts. Yeah.
Yes, unprofessional
no,
butts.
That's how you do.
I am an ass person myself. Just saying.
Asses versus butts. What's the difference?
I mean, I've met Joe.
Right? Exactly.
And
he has the cutest little vidinka-dink.
Oh my god. Are we talking about our significant other's butts right here? My god. I need to drink.
This
I
is
need
James's
more
fault.
Or less.
This is
yeah,
James's
I'm
fault.
I'm going to blame James right. entirely.
Well, yes. Let's take a break.
Never mind
and talk
that
about
I was the one who said butts.
Yeah, let's take a break and talk about butts.
Okay.
Hey, everybody. You should like us on Facebook, apropos of nothing. You could follow us on Twitter at AON Podcast. Or you could join our Steam group at AON Podcast. Search for Apropos of Nothing.
If you guys like what you heard, you can visit us on our website at aonpodcast.com. If you want to talk to us directly, you can send us an email at either Jenna, Salsa, or James at aonpodcast.com, or collectively at feedback@aonpodcast.com.
Who doesn't love Black Electric?
All right.
Welcome back.
Hello.
Yes. Hooray. I'm Jenna.
I'm Jay.
And I'm Tom.
Did it.
Did we do it, though? Like in
kind
this
of.
Into the oh. line, you know?
Like, we kind of kerfumfled into it, but I'm fine with that.
Yeah.
It's very on brand.
Word,
I love
say.
The word kerfumfled.
And speaking
Every
of things
time-
we love... It's time for a Fast Five.
Fast Five.
I have heard legends of this Fast Five.
Yes.
But I've never partaken
Do you
it.
Know how it is played, Tom?
Sort of.
So
well, then
we
maybe James should review.
Two
I
messages,
think James
usually
should probably review.
Two emails. The first one containing only a series of five A or B choices with no context.
Mm-hmm.
The second message or email, Mav, contains the context. And the choices repeated so that we know for each decision we've made who is right and who is dead.
Fuck, I'm gonna die?
Wait, shit, there was
I mean, eventually,
like,
I assume.
Is this is the battle of wits from the Princess Bride? Because, goddamn,
very
I
Very little wit.
I should have gotten a life. I should have taken out a life insurance.
It's more like
never
Zoltric,
started a land
no
war
funny.
In Asia.
Yeah,
it's one of the classic blunders.
Yeah. All right, so we open, well, let me start. We have received tonight's Fast Five from...
I don't have a drum roll on this thing, sorry.
Salsa.
Yeah, yay.
He has graced us with his presence in the Fast Five.
Woohoo.
Oh,
yeah.
That's good.
All right.
I hope he's feeling better soon.
Fast Five, question number one. No, nothing. We didn't hear it. I'm sorry.
God damn it.
It was working a moment ago. There we go. All right.
There we go.
Okay.
Food or drink?
Drink.
But food is also good. Could we have them combined? Like a smoothie?
Milkshake.
Well, I was going to say rum cake, but.
Oh. We all went for different things. That's.
I mean, we do things. Have to pick one or the other. That's
soup
how the
is
game
a food
works.
And a
so
drink.
No rum cake.
Oh. What if the question is soup a food or a drink?
Wait, I'm sorry. What did you say? I didn't quite catch it.
Is
God, it sounded like I'm at work.
Yeah.
Is soup a food or a drink?
A food or a drink?
Yes. I will not be taking questions at this time.
Well, the problem is it has to be. One or the other.
We have to pick one or the other.
Per the tradition of the podcast.
Yeah, the game is you pick A or B.
Mm-hmm. No questions asked.
So in this circumstance,
I mean, we can.
But which is it more?
We can create our own context. Like I went to drink right away because when I want to drown my sorrows, that's how I go about it.
No.
Is with a healthy smoothie.
Liver and onions. That's how I drown.
I'm sure
salad.
Everybody's
mashed
fine.
Mashed potatoes.
That.
Oh my god! Okay, mashed potatoes.
Wait, god, mashed potatoes.
Oh my god, mashed potatoes and like a good German sausage or a good Polish sausage. Mwah.
Yeah, bangers and mash. Yeah, absolutely.
Bangers and mash. Well, this is more like versed in sauerkraut with mashed potatoes.
Right.
Good stuff.
I actually just like mashed potatoes on their own.
Oh,
like okay, so there are different ways that you do mashed potatoes. Just. Mm-hmm. With various ingredients, but not other sides, entrees, whatever, like just mashed potatoes. But you can have mashed potatoes that are like full of sour cream and chives and butter and all of that goodness.
All the stuff
or you can have mashed potatoes with like fucking turkey gravy. And
oh
that is
God.
Also amazing.
Yeah.
But like, I wouldn't call those like once you start adding things like bangers or sausage
or
whatever
green onions.
I would say green onions are still
right.
If they're like mixed in and stuff that's still part of just mashed potatoes depending on how you dress the mashed potatoes but like anything outside of like being mixed in with it or being a part of the potato specific I feel like is a separate entity.
That is fair. That is a fair assessment of the mashed potato situation.
That's how I draw the lines. And I've had this conversation with Joe where he's like, what if we tried doing this with your potatoes? And I was like, okay, so here's the problem.
Mm-hmm.
They're not my potatoes. The recipe that I use for what we call praties was handed down to me by people who are no longer among the living when I was growing up at the Irish Cottage out at the Renaissance Festival.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Or historical reenactment at Clantartan.
Mm-hmm.
So if I am making praties, I am going to follow the recipe that was handed down to me. However, what you choose to do with it after that, fucking have at. You want to add hot sauce and world peas? That's weird, but fucking go for it. I don't care.
Wait, I'm sorry. You can add world peas to mashed potatoes?
Yeah. Yep.
I blended in some like buttered sauteed asparagus.
Oh, okay. Like a puree.
Yeah. So I pureed some like deliciously buttered asparagus with mashed potatoes to make green mashed potatoes. For a St. Patty's Day, and
legit,
they turned out amazing.
I bet that's pretty.
Very
fucking
few people wanted to try them because a lot of people don't want asparagus. So
that's fair.
Fucking love asparagus, and I don't understand these people.
Speaking of asparagus, I just made the most amazing asparagus sauteed in leftover beef fat and brown butter from making steaks, and it was so good. And I will probably do it again.
Oh my god, yes. Oh
yeah. Yep.
I've been cooking a lot of steaks lately because I've decided that I want more steak in my life, so I'm just gonna make that happen.
Yeah.
Steaks are good.
And I have a grill griddle that you can put on top of your burners.
Ooh,
you know what I'm talking about?
Like
the cast iron thing. Yep. That. And one side is flat, like a pancake griddle, and the other side is like a grilling griddle.
Like a grill plate.
Yeah.
Or a grill pan. Grill pan. That's what it's called.
We'll go with grill pan. Yeah.
Sure.
So I have been cooking steaks and asparagus on that thing.
That's
and it is
such a great fucking plan.
Nice.
Incredible. Yeah. Highly recommend.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. My oven doesn't support that kind of thing because it's electric. Boogie oogie oogie. But
boogie oogie.
No.
Oh my god. Yeah.
Boogie oogie.
I just got that joke.
It's good. Electric. All right.
That's a very
so
silly
okay. I chose food. Because I believe that soup is more of a food than it is a drink.
Is that and the context, or is that are we
no,
just making
we don't know.
No,
nope,
you make it up. We'll yeah. get the okay. context
and
after we answer all of the questions.
I guess I'm gonna go with food because, like, if I had to give up one or the other, I could probably give up. Well, except for water, but you can get
right.
water from eating food. So I would, I suppose, I would give up drink. I suppose so. I'm going with food.
I'm going Absolutely. With drink. Because
That's
coffee
fair.
Is a drink.
Oh.
And I
coffee.
And coffee. Yep.
Shit.
Yeah.
Very pouty.
Yep. Coffee.
Very pouty Tom over here.
Oh, I'm sorry about the pouty Tom.
Yeah, I wonder if it's like, would you rather eat get your caffeine from drinking coffee or eating chocolate?
Caffeine I would rather get from coffee.
Yeah.
I like yeah. to eat chocolate because I like to eat chocolate. It has nothing to do with the caffeine.
Yeah. Tough,
I just realized what I could do with some of that Dairy Queen ice cream cake is make an affogato. So an affogato is when you pour right. a shot of espresso over a scoop of ice cream.
Oh,
it's real good.
Oh, that sounds that's, amazing.
Mm-hmm.
I miss living with Jack's purely for the Cafe
coffee.
Cubano.
Oh, I miss I love their Cafe Cubano. It's so
they make
it's
such
mwah.
Good Cafe Cubano.
So tonight they made me a shot of Cafe Cubano and poured
so
cinnamon whiskey into it.
Oh,
and I can only tell you that this is one of the better things that's happened to me in my life.
James.
And I've been rescued from a car wreck.
I have never hated you before.
Lies, but go on.
No, no. I have been frustrated. I have been annoyed. I have suffered despair.
Uh-huh.
I have been disappointed.
Mm-hmm.
I have just kind of a little bit of a bothersome sometimes. I've never
sure.
hated you. Up until the moment in which you have told me that you received Cafe Cubano with a cinnamon whiskey.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
doesn't
Jax make this? Jax?
Jax.
Yeah.
Jax.
Yeah.
Okay, I wanted to make sure I was pronouncing it right.
Yeah.
Don't they make it with a mocha pot? With like one of those aluminum espresso pots?
The espresso pot, yeah.
Yeah,
well,
the espresso
pot. It's only
I have
aluminum
one of
because
those.
We're cheap.
Mm-hmm.
I could make
yeah.
one.
No, they showed me like how to smush the sugar appropriately and mixing in a bit and then like
mm-hmm.
so that you
mm-hmm.
get the doodad. Yeah,
it's
I can't do it. And I'm angry
oh,
about this.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm so mad that they showed me this glorious wonder and I can never have it again because
yeah.
I can't
it's still
make
like
it happen.
Level two, level three sorcery. So.
Sure, sure, sure.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Maybe
yeah,
I should
yeah.
learn
yeah.
how to make cafe. Then maybe that'll be my next pandemic. Mm-hmm.
Then you can Ooh. Show up a day early for the next brunch.
I was waiting for somebody to bring up the
yeah.
fact that I showed up 24 hours early to a brunch. Because
I'm shocked
that is
you made it on time
still
for the episode,
funny.
Not yesterday. That's
wait, what?
You know what? Oh god,
I was shocked that you showed up today for the episode.
It's because I had other things to do, and I knew this wasn't happening today. This wasn't happening yesterday. It happens on Mondays.
Tom,
so
if you
problem.
Ever want to show up a day early to anything at my place and make me Cafe Cubano,
yeah.
you are more than welcome.
Deal, yeah.
Like that will not be.
Stuff?
Yeah.
Sure.
Okay. Good.
Yeah. Do that.
Yeah.
Yeah. All
right. So.
All right. Anyway, I went.
Ask
cake.
Five.
I went. Food.
Question number two. No, there we go. All right. Buoyancy or pressure?
Bum,
bada, bum, bada, bum, bum.
Oh, I understood that.
Yeah.
Dun, dun.
Buoyancy or pressure. That's
like,
okay.
It's like
oh,
you're both
oh, this is a
forces.
Cooking thing. This is a cooking thing.
Oh.
Oh.
Do you prefer your eggs hard boiled in water?
Oh.
Or under a pressure cooker? This is what I've decided.
Okay.
And I still am nervous about my pressure cooker, so I'm going to go with buoyancy.
I'm going to go with buoyancy.
I'm still trying to understand it.
Here, okay, a point of order. If your eggs float, you should not use them because
correct.
Floating it's eggs fair. Are rotten beyond repair.
Right.
Like, mm-hmm. Although I have to say I've never encountered an egg so rotten that it floats. Like, no matter how old the eggs in my fridge get, they're like, I've never had an egg go bad.
The expiration on egg date that they put on eggs is
ridiculous.
So conservative to make sure that they have absolutely every legal recourse in case something happens, because rotten
so
eggs
conservative,
are
awful.
Yeah.
It told me I wasn't allowed.
Wait, I'm sorry. You cut off like
you
right
cut
the
off.
End.
Oh, yeah. I said. It's so conservative that it told me I wasn't allowed to vote.
Yeah.
Wow. That's impressive.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, like, yeah, mm-hmm. I had a former roommate who was like, oh shit, these eggs are 2 weeks old. And it's like, no, you can still use them, friend.
Yeah.
I mean, this person also had very severe untreated ADHD and would like leave vegetables to rot in the crisper. And it's like, you can do something with these.
I've discovered the way around that.
Oh,
you don't put them in the fucking crisper. You put them in the door.
Mm-hmm. Because then you
put
see them
all the
time
in the crisper, because they never go bad functionally, mm-hmm. and you know right. they're there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
I actually just reach into my crisper. My crisper in my fridge is my snack drawer.
Oh, mm-hmm.
So that's where I keep like my hummus.
Your carcucci for your carcucci drawer.
Carcucci drawer. Yeah, actually. It's where I keep my hummus and my baby carrots and like olives and so anytime I'm like, I just feel like a snack,
mm-hmm.
I go into the crisper drawer. Which, because I like to snack, I keep the healthier stuff in there. Mm-hmm. And then I'm suddenly just accidentally snacking healthier.
Smart.
I recommend that game.
Mm-hmm.
That's a pretty
good
game.
I mean, this is also like, this also sounds like an ADHD prevention.
Well, we've talked about this before where like ADHD, so I have PTSD responses.
Mm-hmm.
I am not, so far as we are aware, ADHD. I have very, very solid executive function.
Mm-hmm.
I just do. And so, like, ADHD as a diagnosis doesn't fit for me.
Mm-hmm.
However, PTSD and some of the brain things that happen with that are very surrounded on order.
Okay.
And consistent rituals, which can mimic a lot of ADHD ways of navigating, right?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. When I talk about rituals, I keep things in a certain place all the time, because mm-hmm. if I don't, then that goes outside of my ritual, and then I don't know mm-hmm. where things are at. I can't establish patterns of behavior if I don't have a consistency of ritual.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, that's like, there are a lot of similarities, but there are also mm-hmm. a lot of, like, again, I can executive function. I am very blessed with that. My distraction level, like I know a lot of people with ADHD have to have something else going on with their brain while they're thinking about things.
Mm-hmm.
I cannot. It's an absolute distraction to me, and I just can't move forward actually until I can singularly focus on what's happening.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, there are similarities and differences for sure.
Yeah.
I talked a lot.
I'm just amused that this has gotten us no closer to answering the actual question. So I guess I'm going to go
no,
with pressure.
No, that's never the point. Yeah.
Oh, okay. That's not the point. Okay.
I think.
Yeah. No, this is a game. This is a talking game.
I'm choosing to interpret it as, which is the better boat movie, Das Boot, or Titanic,
second point of order. I feel like Das Boot is about a submarine, isn't it? Isn't it about a German U-boat? Right, but that's not a boat, though. Right?
Yes, I love this.
Literally,
James, you've been knighted.
Because Das
Hash
Boot
Browns knighted
means
Hash Browns.
Translate out of German. What does Das Boot mean?
The boat? I've played Das Boot. It's a drinking game, and it's delightful.
The boat.
Oh, right. At that place we can't go to anymore because it closed down and also was a Nazi place.
Well, there's
oh, no, that. I actually went there because it was a Nazi place.
That's where you go if you listen to Joe Rogan.
And
we're not sponsored on Spotify, so.
Why the
boom, there it is.
I don't know. I heard they like Nazis.
Sorry.
Anyway, okay. So,
Tom, what were you saying?
Don't remember. Other than I'm still thinking about eggs, and I would argue that buoyant eggs are no good. So I'm going to go with pressure.
All right.
Okay. I'm going to go with buoyancy.
Okay. I'm going with pressure.
To be different.
No, because I think Das Boot is a better movie.
That's fair.
All right.
I've never seen either, so I can't really judge on that front.
I've seen Titanic. It was before Jessa was a glimmer in my eye, but yeah. Been a
Should
while.
I see Titanic?
Should you see Titanic?
I don't know. I've never seen it.
It's fine.
I just remember singing my heart will go on the playground at school when I was a kiddo without really any context.
That checks out. Yeah, but
I mean, I saw it in college, but sure.
It's a fine.
I'm sorry,
movie.
I mean, you feel old.
I feel old. No, my daughter makes me feel old. You're fine.
Oh, your daughter, the 40-year-old woman, makes
the
you 40-year-old
old woman. Yeah,
actually, yeah.
Actually, though, yes.
Yeah. So,
Tom, I'll tell you a story after the podcast, and you will.
I would love to hear the story after the
yet.
Podcast.
Yeah. Do
now
we have more questions?
I'm sure we do have more questions.
Question number three. Not a goddamn thing. It's not coming.
Nope.
Nope. Not happening.
Nope. Nothing.
Ding.
There we go. All right.
I'm just gonna play all of these.
Yeah.
The ring, Jenna, the ringtone DJ.
All right. Question number three is in or out.
We all need to get our minds out of the gutter if that's what our reactions were. Can I pick a third? Can I pick a third option? How about the old in-out?
I mean, that's
ooh,
always
baby.
Yeah.
I know.
Just like sex.
Now I want to... Oh, God, no, 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 you can't... Here's the problem is that you can't stop... You can't bring up Rocky Horror on this podcast because then I will start doing the callbacks and there will be no stopping me. And we're already like almost to 11. What? Wait, what?
I want. Yeah, okay.
Oh, God damn it. Don't do that. That's dangerous.
Damn it, Janet.
Damn it. Let's go through. See, I can't turn it off. It's unturnoffable.
Here's the thing, though, Tom. Okay, Tom, you and I come from different generations of Rocky Horror.
That is true.
So the callbacks are slightly different.
Oh, also, so, Tom's got a completely different geographical region of callback.
There is also that. I've also stolen
callbacks from people in like East Coast and West Coast. It's
right. Like, so, like when I say "damn it, Janet," you say
"let's go screw,"
and I want to screw.
Yep.
Yep.
I mean,
like this is a weird
meaning.
Fucking sub-dialect to the American language, but here we are.
It really
fuck
is.
Off with your neck that's, yeah.
I still like the one where that's like, there's one thing left to do, and you go, achoo!
What?
So,
I don't know that one.
It's a bit from Damn It, Janet, where it's like, there's one thing left to do, but then you go, achoo! So like you're sneezing.
I feel like we had a different callback, but I can't remember what it was because, again, this was like fucking 25 years ago in my life.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to feel bad about not remembering that after a couple of brain injuries in 25 years.
I'm sure.
Anyway,
look it up somewhere. Anyway, in
what
or out?
What were we doing?
We were deciding in or out.
In or out.
Okay.
I was an outdoor kid.
What do you mean? Like you lived, like you were an outdoor cat, like you lived outdoors and you roamed around and got into scrapes.
Okay, that's, I was gonna refute that, but it's becoming increasingly accurate, the thing that they're saying.
Suddenly I feel bad saying it now that you put it like that.
Don't.
Okay.
No.
Don't.
Yeah.
Right.
No.
I lived on don't a farm. Feel bad. I retract my guilt.
Yeah.
What?
See.
Yeah.
In right. or out? Do I have an innie or an outie? I have an innie, but when I was pregnant, I had an outie.
Yeah, that's
because
the pregnancy
that's
timer.
What pregnancy does.
It tells
Not
you when it's done.
Always, but fairly consistently, yes.
Oh, huh. I am very glad I got my tubes yeeted so I can never be pregnant.
Yeah.
Not that you I have, don't like.
Wait, don't, you have like, a uterus?
I did not. Well, so I didn't eat the whole thing.
Okay.
Just the tubes.
Right.
Because, well, I didn't want the recovery time for an entire uterus, so.
I want an entire uterus, and like, okay. Last time I talked to someone 5 years ago, they were like, but what if you have more babies? And I was like, if you get rid of it, I won't. And that's what I want.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
I do have a recommendation for a surgeon who might be actually amenable to.
I'm starting to get to the point of that again, because this perimenopause thing is fucking bullshit and I'm done with it.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. It's been 4 years and it doesn't seem to be resolving itself and I'm tired.
Sure.
And cranky. So anyway, I'm going to say I would like to have my uterus out, please. So I'm going
Ooh.
With out.
I'll go mm-hmm. with out, I suppose. Just to not be different.
All right. So, fast five, question number four.
We got to do
Come
the
on.
Ding.
Let's go Oof. Through the whole fucking list. There we go.
Ding
All right.
Dong.
Okay.
Surprise or planned?
We're talking about parties.
Please go ahead and guess where I'm going with this.
Not surprise, I would guess.
No.
Yeah.
No, I like my plans. I'm going with planned.
I'm gonna go.
There might actually be areas in which I'm okay with being surprised, but 90% of the time, going planned.
I'm like good with spontaneity. Look,
yeah.
Words are hard. Leave me alone.
I believe all of those words were accurate.
You're a writer.
You go on, Tom.
I like
spontaneity.
Well, and here's actually spontaneity is how we got to visit the Leaning Tower of Niles when I was in Chicago. Because I was like, oh, hey, look, this is in the same city where that cemetery is that we're going. Let's go see that. It sounds weird.
All right.
And the Leaning Tower of Niles is a wonderful thing. And if you're ever in Illinois with a car, and you're in the Evanston, Chicago area, I highly recommend it. It's free and it's very funny. You can even do that whole thing where you're like trying to hold it up. You can get a decent photo op. So, but most of the time I'm going to go with planned as well.
All right. So,
what did you choose, James?
He needs to choose spontaneous to be different.
I'm going to have to say
to be different.
Planned. No, because if I do a stand-up set, I need it to be planned.
Ooh,
I'm going to get up there and I'm going to fucking die on stage either way, but it's going to be way worse if I haven't planned it at all. If I haven't at least talked through it a little bit.
Right.
Yeah.
I tried to do a stand-up set with no notes and no planning. I was just like, oh God, that was the worst thing I've ever fucking done. I want to die. I want to like sink into this.
But you did it, which makes you braver than me.
I did do it. But Jesus Christ, that was bad.
I tried stand-up for 6 months. Then I got a husband out of it. So yay. yep.
Okay, so it sounds like
anyway.
we've all landed on the side of planned, it sounds like.
All right. Fast five, question number five.
Just throw all the sounds against the wall and see what
the
sticks.
The bells! The bells! All
right. With the Wine. Ringing and the tinging of the bells, 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 with the ringing and the tinging of the bells. What is it?
See, I thought, oh, I thought Hark How the Bells, Sweet Silver Bells, but it's like, it's way past Christmas.
No, I just thought of the bells are ringing, the They Might Be Giants song. Surprising, again. No.
It is a poem. Which uses one of my favorite words ever, tintinabulation.
Good word. Wonderful word. A-plus word.
Right.
Which is the walking of a 1930s red-headed cartoon character.
What? Anyway,
so
that's a Tintin joke.
Yes.
Jesus
Christ. Oh,
isn't it
fuck.
French? Isn't Tintin French?
Yeah, probably. Yeah.
Okay. I thought Tintin.
It is, by the way, an Edgar Allan Poe poem called The Bells.
An Edgar Allan poem?
I want to be mad, but it's not happening. So
you're friends with Kyle. How can you be mad?
We work together.
Hear the sledges with the bells, silver bells. What a world of merriment their melody foretells. How they tinkle, tinkle, tinkle in the icy air of night. While the stars that oversprinkle all the heavens seem to twinkle with a crystalline delight, keeping time, time, time in a sort of runic rhyme to the tintinabulation that so musically wells from the bells, 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 from the jingling and the tinkling of the bells.
Has somebody said that's music? But I feel like somebody has.
Well, it's a specific type of poem that is supposed to be read with a meter, like very specifically. Okay. It was constructed with the idea of melody isn't the right word for it, but that kind of melodic flow to it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I don't know if I have a word for it, but I know what you're talking about.
Yeah. I can't remember the poem type, like the actual literal name.
Onomatopoetic?
No. That's not what that means.
Correct.
But I definitely recommend.
Because I got distracted.
It was wine or coffee.
Oh, what? God damn it.
Which I felt would be of interest to Jenna.
That's very infuriating. I hate this question.
Because earlier in this podcast, I talked about the importance of coffee, but I am currently drinking wine. Mm-hmm. I'm going to say this question is, do you work better in the morning or in the evening?
Ooh.
Ooh, with wine or coffee.
Right.
Depends on what I'm doing, but like...
The real answer is afternoon, but...
Evening.
But like... If I have to not be cranky at people in the morning, I would say coffee.
I've set myself up with some tasks that I can do first thing in the morning that does not require any kind of interaction with people whatsoever. Mm-hmm. My super secret into adulting, by the way, I start work at 7. This sounds awful. And it kind of is, except that before I leave for the day, I set up a couple of hours worth of kind of tedious, no-person tasks that I do for the first couple hours of my day. So that by the time 9 o'clock rolls around and I've had sufficient amount of coffee, I can start to deal with people, right? But this also means I'm already 2 hours into my workday, so I only have 6 hours left.
Smart.
Boom. That's my adulting hack.
Yeah.
It makes you look super dedicated. Nobody complains when you leave early. If you have those kind of options. But yeah, and you get a bunch of stuff done and you basically sleep through the first couple of hours. Adult hack.
Yeah. My problem is that with my work, they're like, you have to work the schedule. And I'm like, fine.
Yeah.
I don't particularly like this, but fine. So I'm working 9:30 to 6.
Oh, gross.
On my customer service job. Well, and what pisses me off the most about these hours is that, God, I should probably turn my lights back on because I have them, but I'll probably be up. I'll be up later than 11. So I'm going to turn it back on. But anyway, so the thing that sucks about my hours is that there are fewer people working the later shift because fewer people calling in. Makes sense until you realize that there are like last minute stragglers who are like, oh yeah, I'm going to just call right at 6. And it's like, no, you asshole. We close at 6.
It's the universal principle of the last two assholes.
Yeah.
Whenever a restaurant closes, you have those last two people who show up at like 5 minutes before and they're like, oh, the buffet is closed.
No, no, no.
Or you have, I mean, when the light for the left turn goes yellow,
mm-hmm.
you have one car that sneaks through on the yellow and one that's immediately behind them so that they're half in the yellow and half in the red. And then that's the first of the two assholes. And then the second asshole is the one who goes through fully on the red because they are immediately behind.
Yep. Hold up, though. Hold up. Okay. Yes. If you are the first person, it is literally your job to be slightly into the intersection while waiting for that light.
Yes.
So that when it does turn yellow, you do complete that turn.
Mm-hmm. Correct. Yeah. So and that person's fine.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm talking about the two people who drive in after them. One of them.
Oh, there's two people who drive in after. That's right.
Yeah.
Oh,
always.
Yeah. Last two assholes.
I usually only notice one, but. I don't know. I mean, maybe I'm not a very good driver.
I just hate driving enough that I notice all of them and they all piss me off. And it's just like, I mean, at my job, I do get paid for the time I spend after 6 o'clock, but it's like, I also don't want to be there after 6 o'clock.
Right.
Like, I'm done.
You shouldn't. Those are your hours. You work them. Yeah. Fuck it. Yeah. No, I get that.
Yeah.
I'm salaried, so time is meaningless, but whatever.
That's fair. Honestly know if it's worth it to be like, I don't honestly want a management position. I don't want to be salaried. It doesn't seem worth it to me.
Yeah.
Because I value my time.
In general, not.
Yeah.
Okay.
My salaried job is a little bit easier because I am not upper level management. I am kind of I'm an analytical management.
Okay.
Which means I get to manage my time a lot better, which is fantastic. But I wouldn't recommend going anywhere above that.
Yeah. Honestly. Are you still an individual contributor technically, or are you in management?
I'm in a weird place.
Okay.
I am technically an IT project manager.
Mm-hmm.
That is my job title, or a project consultant.
Okay.
But it shifted to manager. It's still a part of project manage. I am a project management professional.
Okay.
The thing is, and I think the very, very important distinction is that I manage projects, not people.
Hmm.
And that is a very, very important distinction.
Mm-hmm.
I'm kind of in a bubble outside. Project management offices, to a certain extent, should exist outside of the internal hierarchical structure because our focus is not that, it's this other thing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So, yeah, I don't know. There are lots of thoughts and theories behind it, but basically, I don't have to manage individuals. I just have to rally them.
Okay.
And that's great.
Different.
Yeah. I like that.
Mm-hmm.
Folks at home, you're listening to KFST Fast Five Radio. We are currently in the middle of Tax Talk, where we're discussing the merits of different payment brackets and hierarchies. If you have opinions, this is not a call-in show, so get fucked. Yeah, all right.
Do we have a Twitter?
I mean, yeah, I guess. Yeah.
Technically.
We have a Discord.
Did you mean to sound so much like Ira Glass, or was that just like accidental?
I think that's just a happy coincidence.
That's fair.
Yeah, I am going to choose coffee. I drink coffee functionally daily.
Yeah.
I drink wine occasionally with dinner.
I'm drink for me.
Yeah.
Wine is more often than just a treat for me, but it's still not nearly as prevalent as coffee is.
Yeah.
That's
like
fair. You don't have a wine machine.
Yeah, I drink coffee. I don't have a wine machine.
Oh,
I definitely have coffee.
Mr.
Machine.
Winey. Yeah.
Mr. Winey sounds like one of my exes.
Oh,
I had so many dates like that. Anyway, yeah.
Anyway, we don't need to talk about that.
Yeah. Gossip after.
Good. We can gossip?
Oh, yeah.
Gasp.
Gasp.
All right. We've all chosen, and now we find out who is right.
There's no more questions?
Yes.
There's no more questions?
That was the last question.
Motherfucking five.
Jenna just mashes whatever she can get her little Here, a little bit.
Oh, shit.
What happened?
Okay, so opening the second message, Salsa says, Fast Five Valentine Edition.
Oh, shit.
Oh.
I don't like this.
Question number one, food or drink? Which is the better Valentine's Day gift, chocolate or wine?
Oh, well, here's the thing is, like, my partner does not like Wagyu? Chocolate or wine very much. Wagyu.
Yeah.
So food, we ended up, I guess.
Yeah, but... Jenna, you hit the nail upon the top with this one.
I think you did, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, I'm going to say chocolate.
I think chocolate is more universally enjoyable.
A little bit of that.
My partner is a lot easier to send chocolate, though. Well,
right, I'm like very, very broadly is what I'm saying.
Yeah,
like I'm in the same boat, but he also does not do booze at all.
Sure,
fair. Mine definitely does booze. Surprise!
Wow, really? Didn't notice that at all. I've never gotten drunk with him at all.
Repeatedly. But I would say that I think as a Valentine's Day thing, I'm guessing Joe would prefer a meal over an alcoholic beverage or a night of alcoholic beverages.
Rem is giving me silent shit because I'm talking about him on the podcast.
Hi, Rem.
Well, now Rem's going to have to give us all silent shit.
I've gotten the finger waggle. Oh, dear.
Oh, no.
Oh, what, we saw a shadow.
There was a shadow.
Shadow of Rem.
There was a shadow.
Good.
There's a shadow of Rem. Yeah. That sounds like the second in a trilogy of books.
I'm really looking forward to the second season of that anime this year, Shadow of Rem.
Have you seen the first one, Rem's Wrath?
Yeah. Ooh. Yes.
Okay.
I feel like you're about to though.
Yeah.
Gosh. Probably not wrong.
I got to go with chocolate. Weirdly, chocolate is an easier thing for me to pick out for somebody.
Wine is hard though, because like it can feel like a gamble if you don't know what you're doing.
If I know somebody's particular favorite, I can get them a couple of bottles of that.
Exactly.
I mean,
and the same is true for chocolate, but I can also go, okay, so-and-so likes dark chocolate with raspberry, right? And then there's a lot of that.
Mm-hmm. Or like so-and-so likes
I do love dark chocolate with raspberries. So James, where's my goddamn Valentine's Day present?
Wait, were we supposed to be coupled
by a guy in a Taco Bell parking lot.
That's true. What
the fuck is my goddamn dark chocolate with raspberry?
I would like to hear this sounds like a very fun story.
Oh, we've told this story before, but I feel like we can tell it again. You know what? We'll tell you afterwards.
Okay,
it has happened on the podcast
during our gossip sesh.
There was a
previous
episode,
There was a previous episode, and this one is exceptionally long at this point, I'm sure. Mm-hmm. So
this Fast Five is really
a slow meander.
A prosaic quartet. Okay. So quintet. Okay.
Quintet.
Question number two of five. The better way to relax: a hot bubble bath or a foot rub?
Bubble bath if I have a tub that is deep enough for me, which I have not had thus far in my adult life, except for this one time I had a clawfoot tub.
I have to rent a hotel room to find a tub that I can fit my shoulders and knees into.
I'm pretty sure I'm the tiniest person here, and I still have difficulties finding a tub that works really good for a bubble bath.
Yeah.
Honestly.
I can't do both in a clawfoot.
Yeah. My dream is to, like, build a... sorry, we're bringing this back to Japan again because Jesus Christ.
Yeah. The Japanese style tub is amazing.
Here's the thing is like I love the whole like shower and then soak in a hot bath because then everybody can use the same bath water. Everybody's clean. And it's wonderful. And I really want one of those like Japanese style bathing rooms with the whole tile and the shower and the deep ass bath. It's a dream. It's amazing. But I don't
know. Wait, you shower then bath?
Yeah. Yes. So what you do is you hose off and soap up and you rinse yourself off. And then you get into the tub. So you're clean when you get in. It's not like you're like soaking in somebody else's bath juice.
Yeah, I don't trust other people.
Okay, but like...
fair. I've met other people and they are bastards.
I guess I don't trust other Americans.
That's a
I would trust point. Other Americans who live with me and thus I can be like, hey, shower your ass off before you get in that soaking tub or fair. You don't get to have a bath ever again.
Ugh. Yeah.
Harsh but fair, I say.
The thing is, like, I'm not like a foot person, but I do like rubbing people's feet because they appreciate it.
I do too.
So
I enjoy a good soak, I will always appreciate a foot rub more.
Mm-hmm. I think foot rubs are easier logistically because there's not as much prep that goes in
there is definitely that. Also, I will say there are very few people that I actually trust to touch my feet, which means scarcity is a factor. There are three people I can think of that are allowed to touch my feet on the planet.
Mm-hmm.
One of them is dead.
You know,
three and a half people on the planet. Look, Bill lost a lot of weight. I'm just saying.
That's
true. Yeah. Oh my God. Is it okay to laugh at that?
Yes, please do.
Okay.
Nah, he was cremated. Fucking, yeah. It's lucky I'm giving him a half. Anyway.
Speaking of cremated, it's really hard to spread ashes in Lake Michigan, which I definitely did not do at all in Evanston in January. It's really hard to do that when the wind is whipping around.
I believe this to be accurate.
God damn it, Walter. Why is everything you do a fucking catastrophe, man? What was all that shit about Vietnam? God damn it. You're such a fucking asshole.
I also apparently got a sunburn that day, which is apparent. So windburn is basically what people call sunburn that happened on a not so sunny day.
Huh.
Learned that the fun way.
I always thought windburn was just getting, like, severely chapped and dried out by the wind.
Well, I mean, I suppose sunburn does dry you out a little bit, but no.
They're very similar experiences, that's true. Sure.
Oh, they are. But,
I'd say they're both very unpleasant. Huh.
Oh, it was like my face was slightly pinker. Anyway, this is totally off topic.
Okay.
Anyway.
Yeah, foot rub.
But yes, I would agree with foot rub. Oh.
Tom, sitting in a now completely pitch black room, is about to be murdered.
murdered by the wrath of
Hold on,
wrath.
Hold on.
Yeah.
Tom, in the dark.
Tom, after dark. Oh my God. So I'm glad this is not a video podcast because this is terrible. Oh
this
no.
Is delightful.
Oh no. Oh no. Rem's coming up with a pillow to smother me. Oh, he just hit me on the shoulder. With a pillow.
Yeah, there you go. All right.
Okay, are you going to bed, sweetie? Here, I'm going to turn off the recording.
Okay. Aw, they're being all cute and stuff, I'm sure.
They are now
I can't
being
tell because it's dark.
Very adorable.
It is completely dark. On that.
They are touching faces.
I have no idea.
In the mouth parts.
I think. I'm not sure. It's again. It's really dark, so it's not
the
easy
eating,
to tell what's
happening.
The
eating surfaces are touching.
It's possible there's kissing. It might just
be
cannibalism. I'm not 100% certain what the hell's happening.
Whatever you've all just said is correct.
Oh.
All
because I mentioned cannibalism, so...
Yeah.
All right. Correct
okay.
too.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, when two people kiss, they form a tube with an anus at either end. So,
Motherfucker! We were having so much fun, and then you made it weird.
Look, it was weird before.
Hold on. I have a few things to emphasize here.
Okay.
He made it weird.
That.
He made it weird. He made this weird. He made this weird. Like, I feel like all of those sentences are accurate. Yep.
Everything, yep. That all applies as well. Agreed.
Oh, okay. Oh, good.
It'll be really, because I only caught snippets of what you said. It'll be really interesting for me to listen back to this segment of the podcast and see what you were saying.
Excellent. We were talking over each other a lot, too, so it'll be fun for me to figure out what I said. Anyway, okay, what's the next one?
Next question is, in or out?
Because we're mature.
If we were not in the middle of a pandemic, ignoring COVID, which is the better celebration for Valentine's Day, a homemade dinner or dining at a restaurant?
Homemade dinner. My God. Not even a question.
To me, it doesn't actually matter. Mm-hmm. So long as there is a shared experience involved.
Mm-hmm.
So like I had, not to brag, but I had a lovely Valentine's Day experience with my partner who made me Wagyu steak.
Ooh.
And that was a shared experience. But if we went out to, say, have a Valentine's Day sushi experience, that could also be delightful.
Jenna, is it at all possible that you may have had a date like that once?
Yes.
I was like, what are you leaning into? What are you insinuating
not
here?
Not only is it possible, I'm going to say likely.
Ooh, shit.
Mm.
All right.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Ultimately, to me, it does not matter so long as the people involved are having a lovely shared experience. But I do have to give Joe extra bounty points for actually cooking the food. Mm-hmm. That was an act of service level that I appreciated.
See, here's my reasoning on staying in versus going out is I get very overwhelmed with stressful things. Mm-hmm. And to me, going out feels more stressful on Valentine's Day than staying in. So like last year, well, I mean, we couldn't go anywhere, obviously, because pandemic and like we're still not eating out very much. But so I made coq au vin with noodles on Valentine's Day last year. And that was a lot of fun.
That sounds fucking amazing.
It was real good.
For several Valentine's days prior to the pandemic, I had a paid gig doing Pundemonium. I would appear along with a couple of other, you know, guest pun folks at Pundemonium with Kyle in particular. my primary brings this up often around this time of year that before all of this happened in the before times that they very patiently, lovingly allowed me to go and do a show on what is supposed to be one of the more romantic nights of the year. And so not only during those times did I make sure to get them all of the Irish coffee that they could hold, but also then usually brought them out to dinner somewhere.
Okay.
Yeah.
Similar but different story. So New Year's Eve is the busiest night for stand-up comedians.
Oh, wow.
It is. People go out, listen to some stand-up, get drunk,
Makes
make
sense.
Out, whatever. Yeah.
Wait, people get drunk and make out at stand-up shows? What kind of stand-up shows are y'all going to?
The
Okay, fine.
The kind where somebody turns into an eldritch horror before their very eyes.
I don't think there's making out at my shows, I gotta say. You bring your own makeout person. Not always.
I didn't realize it was BYOMP. Not Member of Parliament. unless that's your thing. I'm not gonna judge. Anyway.
BYOMVP?
Most valuable makeout person? Value person?
Most valuable.
MVMP. Okay.
Arts?
Wait, MVS. Most valuable smoocher.
Ooh.
Nice. Okay. We've solved
MSP, which is not only Minneapolis St. Paul, but also most smoochiest person. Yeah.
I was married to a stand-up comedian. So for us, New Year's Eve was, I'm probably the sober cab because my husband is not only getting paid a decent amount of money to do the gig, but also free drinks. And so now I have to go to his show, which I enjoyed going to his shows. It wasn't a big deal, but like I couldn't do other plans because I was driving him home.
Yeah.
So like I understand that situation, but it's also like one of those things where when you become partners with somebody, that's one of those things like you accept about their lifestyle, performance stuff, whatever.
Sure.
Like, yeah. So anyway, that's not Valentine's Day.
Wait, was that the end? Was that the end of the story?
That's it. That's all I got. I thought there was going to be more in there.
I have wine.
Venn
diagram.
That is fair. Yeah. I have no more gin.
All right,
but that is probably fair. I probably don't need any more gin tonight.
Question number four: surprise or plan? What is your preference? Surprised with Valentine's Day gifts or a planned experience together?
That's going to depend on who I am with and what the dynamic is like. I think.
I'm not a huge gift person. So I'm leaning towards planned experience, but like when we say planned, like I love when somebody else plans a thing and is like, hey, make sure that you're available at this time for plans. And I'm just going to take care of all the planning aspects. Like that to me, but is it planned together? Are we planning on how we're going to get to the place? I think I'd still go with planned because I just, I don't know. I'm not opposed to surprises, especially when gifts are concerned, but like it is definitely much more meaningful for me to have an experience, surprise plan or otherwise. So.
Sure. Well, and I feel like that's still kind of a planned thing. When someone says, I'm going to pick you up at 6, we're going to go to a secret place to do secret things. Make sure that you wear something
secret.
Biz cash.
Make sure to wear some hiking boots and some camouflage. What?
Yeah. And
what are we doing for Valentine's Day?
Yeah, bring the remote control.
We're going to hunt an eldritch horror. That's what we're going to do.
The latex gloves.
I'm allergic to latex, so that's not happening.
Well, then the
nitrile
gloves. Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I'm going to get you a secret Valentine's Day tattoo. Secretly.
That
seems like a bad surprise.
Not that one.
No.
We're going to find the first animal that we all see together. We're going to tattoo on our...
What? Why?
Butts.
Everybody! Butts. Everybody!
I tend to agree with Jenna. Valentine's Day gifts are great. It's fine. It's something that, you know, that people sometimes gifting is a love language. And especially, like, I've had partners gift me art Yeah, or like things that they've made. Mm-hmm. Kick ass.
Yeah.
I'm 1,000%.
Absolutely. Yeah.
But the, like I heard once, I think it was a long time ago, Salsa talked about his partner making Wagyu beef for a Valentine's Day. After God. Making onions and garlic.
God damn it, James. I fucking hate you so much.
So,
you're such a dick. Tom, this is a callback that you weren't there for.
Yeah.
I figured it was a great moment and you had to be there.
Deep, deep podcast lore.
Lore! Yeah.
But well, we're going to be gossiping for like 2 hours after actually wrap up this thing.
That's fair.
But yeah, I think I like to have plans together, but I also know that with my partners, it's really only a good idea to have plans with maybe one partner.
That makes sense.
And so I can still get or make the scarf a gift for somebody to know, let them know that I'm thinking of them. You know, they are important to me. Give them the gift of my time as a thing stored in. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, I would get up early for brunch but that's because I'm a proper gay who loves brunch.
Look, I love a good brunch.
Yeah.
I love a mediocre brunch. I even love a quasi-acceptable brunch. Hmm. However, for Valentine's Day, I am not getting up early.
Okay, that's fair.
If we did things right, and like say I spent the night before, I better not be getting up early. Mm-hmm. Don't make me get up early after that.
You're still going to be sore.
Right, exactly. No. Unless there's going to be, it's like the most incredible drag brunch ever to have brunched a drag. Don't make me get up.
That does remind me of a really awesome Disney drag brunch I got to see once.
Ooh.
Yeah.
What a surprise that I have.
I was like, this is going to lead into a story. Like, as I was saying this out loud, I was like, Tom's already got a story for this. go on.
So one of the more memorable acts was one of the performers. They had like a whole Ursula tentacle dress and they sang Poor Unfortunate Souls in their own voice, which was amazing. Nice. And there were bottomless mimosas and Cajun spiced biscuits and gravy on the buffet line. And everything was wonderful. And there were like little Danishes. It was most fun I've ever had at a drag brunch in a while.
Nice.
Mm-hmm.
I approve 1,000%.
Yeah, that sounds fucking awesome.
Yeah.
I'm going to say... as far as I know, this isn't quite the question, but which is the more romantic thing? You've each picked your thing. The thing that I like to do is to make breakfast like every day.
Mm.
I like to make breakfast and I like to make coffee. This morning, I made breakfast. I made coffee and they like hot sauce. So I made a little hot sauce heart for each of ours. On the eggs.
Cute.
And then made coffee with some of Jen Jensen's hot chocolate from Rogue
Siren. Hot chocolate bombs.
And those were great. That was, you know, special coffee. Special egg. That was kind of what I was about. So I think coffee. I like getting up early and doing those things for someone.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
I do like making coffee for Joe.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just a more functional person in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
So the fact that I can function enough to make coffee, usually before he's even awake, is great. But don't make me get up early.
Mm.
There is a difference. If I get up early on my own time, that's one thing. If you try to make me get up early, we're going to have issues.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So,
We did it.
Our Fast Five.
We did it. Our slow meandering quintet.
Yeah. So, does anybody have a shout out?
I would like to give a shout out to my apartment complex. The management here is absolutely fantastic. Normally when I have my coffee delivered to me through Velasquez Family Coffee, they ring me when they get to the door and I come down and I get the coffee. And I was in a meeting when they showed up and my front office just took care of it for me. The apartment front office took care of it for me. It was beautiful. And they also told me to just let them handle it in the future. So I just want to give a shout out to them because coffee, god damn it. Coffee.
That's pretty fucking fantastic.
Yeah.
I am also going to give a shout out to my landlord and landlordess.
Landlordess.
Yeah, delightful married couple. And they are extremely thoughtful and considerate if anything ever goes wrong, and often when things go right here. They stopped by yesterday to check and make sure that our cabinets, which were new when we moved in, are still in good shape. We are enjoying them. They maybe should get them elsewhere if they're good. But then late last night, water started pouring in from our bathroom ceiling fan.
Yikes.
Oh.
And
that's
real bad. And not only have they been on top of that, but they, for example, gave us additional quarters for laundry and all of that stuff, which is incredibly thoughtful. It's a small thing, but it means super a lot. Yeah. So shout out to them. Tom?
Hey. Trying to think. I would like to shout out my friend Dennis for playing Strange Brigade with me and inviting me onto their stream.
Yes.
That was a lot of fun.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And I would like to do that again. And that was very fun.
Tabulous.
What?
Yes.
Fantabulous.
We delight in Dennis here. Dennis is fantastic.
Dennis is wonderful. Excellent.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Zastara. Zastara.
Zastara.
Zastara. Zastara. Yeah. All right. Good. 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 Does anybody have anything to plug in the near future?
I have a show coming up on this Saturday.
Ooh.
I don't know if the invite's going to show up proper in the notes. It looks like it's being weird here, but
I opened the link and saw it. Is it for Don Juan?
It is for Don Juan.
Yay!
Don Juan reading being produced at Strike Theater. With in conjunction with Maximum Verbosity, our good friend Pabble.
Why does that not surprise me?
Right. So, yes, we are doing a reading of Don Juan. This was supposed to happen last month in conjunction with... oh, my God. Who's the person that wrote Don Juan?
Fucking hell.
Right. I know this.
Not, and I'm mixing it up with Don Quixote, and I'm not... That's not Miguel de Cervantes.
No, but it
Is
does
it
start with... Molière, yeah.
Was it Molière in the invite?
Okay, yeah.
It is Molière, okay.
Yes, it is. It is Molière. Or Molière.
Molière.
Molière. But
everybody stick your lips out and go Molière. That's how you say Molière.
Yeah, Molière.
I'm sorry to any French speakers who did not like that joke.
Pardon.
Sorry, Sean Petré.
Youch.
Just saying, Sean Petré is the one that's going to get offended, whether Sean should or not.
Just order yourself a Mr. Crunchy and get over it. Somebody pointed out on Twitter that that Monsieur Croque de Monsieur is Mr. Crunchy, and I picked up on that. I was like, oh, wonk, Mr. Crunchy, ho ho ho.
Let me tell you more about Don Juan, though.
Okay,
Don
yes,
Juan happens this Saturday, the 20-something. I forget already. The 19th? Shit. I was prepared, and then I got distracted.
Wait, the 19th. Hold up.
It's the 19th. This Saturday, March 19th, or February 19th. Fuck.
Time even.
I don't even know what's happening anymore. Mm-hmm. But so it's happening at Strike Theater at 3 p.m. February 19th. And the reading list includes such people as myself, Philip Andrew Bennett Lowe, Allison Anderson, Don Krasnowski, Jen Scott, and Mr. Matthew Kesson as the titular role.
Oh,
so
I'm sorry, I'm just being a smartass at this
point. Wow. So yeah, this is a fucking all-star cast and me, and I am so excited to be a part of this. So definitely come on down for that. Vaccinations are required, or an actual certified negative test within like 48 hours, I think.
Is it 48 or 72?
Might be 72.
I have the event pulled up.
I don't know.
I could say.
Don't worry about it. Negative test. Get a negative test very, very soon before showing up. And then there will be mask wearing at all times in the theater, except for like concessions. They do have concessions. So like, obviously, if you're eating, it's really hard to do with a mask on. But like, yeah, whatever. Bring your mask. Bring your vax card. Bring your excitement for a beautiful, wonderful reading that is about to take place this Saturday.
I've never actually tried this, but I feel like you could like pour some M&Ms or gummy bears into your mask and like have like a nose, like a feed bag.
Like a feed bag? Depends on the shape of the mask.
And the snacks.
And the snacks.
Like gummy snacks, maybe not, because if they get all wet, then they'll stick.
Well, I mean,
you don't want it.
M&Ms melt in your mouth, not in your hand, but I'm willing to
bet. But if you're breathing on them, they might get a little melty.
Probably also
melt on your face.
Melt in your mask.
Unwrap Starburst. Unwrap Starburst.
Oh, no.
Yeah. That's,
or wrap Starburst and you get to practice unwrapping the Starburst with your tongue.
Oh, so it's like that party trick that you did.
Exactly.
For reasons.
For reasons.
Because I was in a sorority, yes.
Like that time that she opened a champagne bottle with a sword. So,
It wasn't my first time. Not going to be my last.
Well, there we go.
Yeah.
Jenna,
no, I actually did that.
I really want to try doing that at some point, but not right now because I don't have any champagne.
Yeah. Oh, I do. You'll have to come over. We'll get some nice and cold.
And
I've got
have
a saber.
Cats, so that's that'll.
I don't have cats. Yeah.
I do wish to interject and say that I had not scrolled down far enough to get Salsa's parting message to us in the Fast Five, and I should. I am bound by my duty.
You didn't read it the last time I had a parting message, asshole.
That's actually why I have noticed this. And so Salsa says, all that said, don't let the holiday define you. Single, couple, poly, ace, celebrate, V-Day, or don't, your way. You are loved. I love all of you. Except James. He's just okay. And here that is coming true. All right. So,
That's actually very sweet of him.
That's very
sweet. He is feeling a little under the weather, isn't he?
Yeah.
All right.
So,
not to undercut his message. That was kind of a dick move, but
anything else to plug?
I don't apologize.
I mean, besides the stuff I've already talked about, you can follow me on Twitch and Twitter. Well, you can follow me on Twitch when I start streaming. I've already got some followers there because people keep shouting me out in other people's streams. I'm like, I don't actually stream there yet. But you can
I'm going to say start following Tom now, because then you will know as soon as they start streaming things.
It is true.
Get in on the underground. Get on the floor level.
Get in on this stream on the ground floor, and there will be fortune and glory in it for you, or something.
Rock and
glory. There will be glory.
There will definitely be glory, and there will also be Dropsy, which is the adventure game I'm planning to stream starting April 2nd. Time to be determined. You will find out about it on my Twitter, which is @Tom_S_T. I'm Tom ST is for tentacles on Twitter.
Huh. So. And those links will also be in the notes.
Yeah. Show notes.
Yes.
I was also going to say we're doing Sunday Family Game Night.
Hey.
Every Wednesday, however, we have switched our time. We are now starting at 6 p.m. because apparently I have a day job. So,
as one may.
Work got busy again. What? Wednesdays at 6 p.m. Central Time now. We're playing Valheim. We're currently building up for the last boss that currently exists.
Ooh. Oh, wow.
Before more drops happen. So... yeah, might not get to it, but we are preparing, so come join us for that.
All right.
Excellent.
Then, suppose the only thing that I have left to say is bye, bye, love you, bye, bye, bye. Jenna?
What? No, I'm good.
Oh.
Great moments that you had to be.
Oh, do you want me to do the close?
On behalf of myself, the absent salsa,
I want to say thank you. I want to say thank you to Salsa for the Fast Five.
Yes.
I want to say thank you to our illustrious guest, Tom.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining us. We appreciate your company. Thank you to all of our listeners. And as always, eat the fucking cake.
I want to blame you, and normally I do blame you, but I
just go.
I'm pretty sure this is actually my fault.
Oh shit!
We've got it on tape.
Oh